are three Remington men.
Yet Iraqis are united in a broad and deep conviction. 12 government ministries are currently under the direct control of Iraqis. I don't think that's too high a standard.
If you've retired, you don't have anything to worry about. I'll probably say it three more times. See, in my line of work, you've got to keep repeating things over and over and over again for the truth to sink in. You've got to catapult the propaganda.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. President Bush just moments ago spoke about the firings of eight U.S. attorneys, firing some say appear to be politically motivated. Mr. Bush says Congress has the information, thousands of pages of documents. They can interview members of his staff, and he's giving them more information as well.
These extraordinary steps offered today to the majority in Congress demonstrate a reasonable solution to the issue. However, we will not go along with a partisan fishing expedition aimed at honorable public servants.
I'm Bob Fuss on Capitol Hill. Democrats here, and some Republicans too, remain determined to find out more about the firings of these U.S. attorneys, and that could cause a showdown with the White House. The administration offered to make Karl Rove and other witnesses available for an informal talk. Senate Judiciary Committee Chairman Pat Leahy rejected that, saying the witnesses need to testify in public and under oath. And there was a huge bipartisan vote in the Senate today to reverse a change in the law put in just last year to let the Attorney General name new U.S. attorneys without Senate approval.
As for Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez, President Bush has urged him to keep up the good fight, and he's told his staff he plans to do that. Not only is 12-year-old Boy Scout Michael Alberry safe in North Carolina, found this morning by searchers with trained tracking dogs, now we know he got lost looking for a road so he could go home.
Kent Alberry told reporters his 12-year-old son Michael is exhausted, dehydrated, scratched up, and worried about missed schoolwork.
What he tells us is he was on the move. He was walking. He says he... He slept in tree branches. I'm not sure exactly what that means yet. He said he curled up under rocks.
Alberry says his son wandered away from his Boy Scout campsite Saturday afternoon because he was homesick and planned on hitching a ride home. Jim Crisula, CBS News, North Wilkesboro, North Carolina.
Another shoe drops in the Bahamas. A judge has ordered DNA testing on Anna Nicole Smith's infant daughter to identify the girl's father. This just in. The word coming from an attorney for Anna Nicole Smith's mother. Alzheimer's cases are going up. CBS's Dan Revive.
The Alzheimer's Association says this problem's getting worse, not better. Now estimating more than 5 million Americans have the disease, up 10% in the past 5 years. Mostly elderly, but it's believed half a million Americans with Alzheimer's are under age 65.
A distinct thrill, no doubt. Steel and glass walkway built out, cantilevered over the vastness of the Grand Canyon. The skywalk dedicated today with chanting by the Hualapai Indians who built it. CBS's Steve Futterman.
It is a bit intimidating to realize that you're walking on glass, a few inches of glass, and below you there is nothing but the floor of the Grand Canyon, and it's 4,000 feet below.
You and I can actually get tickets to walk on it on the 28th of this month. On Wall Street today, the Dow up about 62 points. The Nasdaq gained nearly 14 points. And oil closed at $56.73 a barrel. That was up 14 pennies. This is CBS News.
This is Charles Osgood of the Osgood File. Is orange juice part of your morning routine? I switched to Welch's 100% grape juice because it has twice the antioxidant power of orange juice. You may have heard a diet naturally rich in antioxidants is good for you. Not only does drinking Welch's 100% grape juice help promote a healthy heart, but emerging research suggests it may help to protect memory and brain health as well. And it's nice to know Welch's is made from Concord grapes grown right here in America by Welch's farmer owners. So drink Welch's 100% grape juice for an unmistakably delicious way to add antioxidants to your diet. This is Charles Osgood. See you on the Osgood File.
I was in a car accident the other day. Nothing major, but enough to ruin my day. Well, I'm a Progressive customer, and they have these claim service centers where you just drive in, sign a couple forms, and drive away in a rental until your car's fixed. They even guarantee the repairs for as long as you have your car. And the first thing they asked me was, are you all right? First thing my buddies asked was, how's the car?
Get more for your money. Visit Progressive.com or your local independent agent. Progressive. It's about you, and it's about time.
Progressive Casualty and Direct Insurance Companies and their affiliates. Mayfield Village, Ohio. Available in over 50 locations nationally. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Iraq war protesters trashed a congressman's office in Lansing, Michigan overnight. Police say vandals defaced the office of Representative Mike Rogers. Sylvia Warner is his press secretary.
They spray-painted the building. A lot of red paint splashed over
the building and signs, including a sign that says we support our troops.
And another sign that claimed Republican Mike Rogers has blood on his hands. On the sidewalk, paint sprayed, no more deaths, and they glued the door of the building shut. The FBI is investigating. Shades of the 60s? Well, maybe. An Army recruiting office was damaged by some other protesters last night on the east side of Milwaukee. Police say they were called when Iraq war protesters hiding themselves in black clothing and ski masks were carrying torches toward the recruitment center. Someone broke a window, bit of vandalism, but the cops got there in time to save it. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Harold, we're lost. Stop and ask for directions.
We're not lost. I know exactly where we are.
You're lost.
Yeah, I'm not.
R2.
Yeah, I'm not.
R2.
Well, I recognize that building. See, I told you, we're not lost.
You should recognize it. We passed it three times.
Get a Garmin and get portable, affordable car navigation for any car. Gentle voice prompts automatically guide you to your destination.
Turn right on Highway 134. Continue southeast to destination.
Garmin, the leader in navigation. It just might save your marriage.
Harold!
And now for the bonus round. An apple a day keeps the doctor away. What does a pear prevent?
Hard feelings.
Correct. If you multiply
the square root of 19.
Correct. How many movies has Netflix delivered so far?
I know. Over 1 billion.
Correct.
Yes.
Netflix. Over 1 billion movies delivered so far. Zero late fees. Choose movies online and get DVDs delivered to your door in about one business day. Start your free trial. Plans now from only $4.99 a month. Netflix. It's that easy.
Peter B. Collins!
Live from San Francisco, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Lively, informative, compelling, progressive talk radio. And it's interactive, too, which is a fancy way of saying he takes your phone calls. Toll free at 1-888-5-PETER-B. Fasten your seatbelt and let's take a ride in Peter B.'s America.
It's time to go home to take our boys and win to take our girls and win to take our boys. Take our girls, time to go home. To take our boys away now. To take our girls away now. To take our boys away now.
Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show, another live, unscripted, unrehearsed radio talk show originating in San Francisco. This program is produced by Katrina Rill. Our assistant producer is Brian Urban. And at any moment, you're invited to call in toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Any second now, we're expecting a call from Congressman Sam Farr, Democrat, who represents the Central Coast, based in Carmel. And he's going to talk about the very difficult vote he'll make this week regarding the Supplemental Appropriations Bill, another $100 billion flushed down the drains of Iraq. And it's a very tough call. I have great empathy for him in this position. We'll get to him in just a moment. Later this hour, Francis Fox Piven, a professor at the City University of New York, will join us to talk about her book, The War at Home, The Domestic Costs of Bush's Militarism. Next hour, Ray Kimball from the Iraq-Afghanistan Veterans of America will join us to talk about post-traumatic stress disorder and the powerful indictment issued in Sunday's New York Times Magazine, an article called The Women's War, written by Sarah Corbett, profiling Suzanne Swift and others who, as they served in our military, were subjected to sexual harassment, in some cases rape, and what's called command rape. We'll talk about those difficult issues coming up next hour. Jason Leopold from truthout.org joins us next hour, too. We'll talk about Gonzalez. We have to credit Keith Olbermann for that. You add an E to Gonzalez and you get Gonzalez. But the president, to no surprise for me anyway, issued a statement of support. Heck of a job you're doing there, Alberto. We'll see how long that lasts. Also on the same subject and others, Melanie Sloan will join us from CREW, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. That's all ahead here on the Peter B. Collins Show. And you can call in at any time, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Sam Farr is the Democratic congressman from the Central Coast. Sam, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show today.
Thank you, Peter B. It's great to be on your show. It's a busy, busy time back here. I'm on the floor and voting, so I don't know how much time I can spend on you, but I'm glad to be on your program.
Well, we understand, and when you are told to go vote, just tell us, and we will release you.
And thank you for taking the time to talk, because you took a difficult vote in the Appropriations Committee, and we'll have another difficult vote when the bill hits the floor of the House later this week. This is regarding the next $100 billion for the war in Iraq. And I have great empathy, Sam Farr, because it's a Hobson's choice for you. You're an early member of the Out of Iraq Caucus. You're, you know, obviously quite committed to ending this war and bringing our troops home as soon as possible. But you don't have perfect choices when you're a member of the House of Representatives. And you have a Hobson's choice here between supporting Speaker Pelosi's compromise plan with timelines and benchmarks, and it will hopefully have the desired effect. Or, as you were quoted in the Chronicle in San Francisco today, that you didn't want to end up voting with the Republicans because they want to escalate in Iraq, and you don't want to send that message either.
Well, Peter, I think you're right. These things are always a tough option choice. I mean, politics is the art of compromise, and I've often said that when you go to vote on controversial issues, you have to decide between 51% evil and 49% good, or other way around. I think that there's more good in this bill than evil, and I think the bottom line is that the Democrats are in the majority. They wrote this bill. It has benchmarks, has timelines for it. We've never had a vote on that before where we can really do something. This bill doesn't do enough. It's certainly not the final version, and, you know, the final version, I'm afraid, may not look as good as this. So if you want to just be with the Republicans and the president and say if it stays in this format, they're going to veto it, they're going to vote against it, the Republicans in the House, and the president's threatening a veto. I mean, that threatening of the veto, to me, is a good sign that there's something in here that is really worth doing, and that is we've got a bunch of stuff in there also for veterans. I know you're going to talk about PTSD. I can tell you that I sit on the Appropriations Committee for Veterans, and mm-hmm. we've adopted a motto there, the chairman and myself, that we're not going to leave any veteran behind, that this is ridiculous, that we have about 1,000 veterans right now on the streets from Iraq and Afghanistan that are sleeping on the streets as homeless. That's appalling to think that. And we have about 200,000 left over from other wars that are still on the streets. So mm-hmm. we're going to try to get services to every one of these people. And obviously, you need a really intensive caregiving and all that other psychological counseling and other programs. So, but this bill is about benchmarks and timeline for withdrawal, and it's not perfect. But I'm pleased to see that we've got, you know, MoveOn.org is supporting our position on Americans Against Escalation in Iraq, the Council for a Livable World. And we haven't done any whipping per se on the Out of Iraq caucus, but I think 75% of that caucus is ready to feel that this is better than bad and to vote for it. Because we want to sustain our majority here, because that's where we can really do good for all the other kinds of things that need to be done in this country. You're reporting in of all the messes that are, whether it's the U.S. Attorney General's office or the war in Iraq, or the list goes on, or PTSD. We think we can address these issues as long as we're in the majority.
Now, I understand exactly where you're at, and I respect the difficult choice you have to make. I also have deep respect for Barbara Lee and Lynn Woolsey, who are going to vote against this as a matter of conscience.
Well, matter of conscience, it's interesting because, you know, we have some ethics and conscience teaching people, one of them being a good friend of mine, and is David Price, a professor of ethics at Duke University, now a member of Congress. And he points out that, you know, there's two questions to this whole thing of it's not only the ethics and consciences of your vote, but it's also the impact of that vote and where that impact leads to failure or destruction. It's not necessarily then the most ethical or conscious thing to do. So you can't just take them particularly in politics, where it is, as you pointed out, it's kind of a Hobson's choice. Mm-hmm. Barbara Lee and I have the exact voting record in this Congress. We're very great friends. Santa Cruz gave her the key to the city for her first vote and her first night here. I'm deeply respectful, and Lee is one of my best friends here. And so, you know, we go around and around on this issue of, you know, where does the good come out of this?
Right.
Does it come out in the end by voting no and lining up with all the Republicans and the president, or does it come lining up with people who are really putting benchmarks and timelines for withdrawal, which is what we've been talking about all the time? So,
well, Sam, when I step back, and again, I am not in your shoes, and I don't pretend to be, but when I step back here, I look at the big picture. And I say, we really cannot negotiate with this White House. These are fundamentalists and they're egotists who are so deep into their own morass that until the Congress actually does come up with a bill that either shortchanges the request or absolutely cuts off funding, this president's not going to alter his course.
Oh, and, I agree. I think this is the best of choices we can get to really get the majority to do it. And It's a tough one. I mean,
yeah, and with,
just to be consistent, you know, I never voted for a supplemental for Iraq, and I could just be like Barbara Lee and Lynn, but I don't. In my, you know, I've been around in politics longer than both of them, and I do think that there's times in history when you've just got to make some really tough choices, and I've concluded that this is one of them.
Well, and likewise, I respect the action in the Senate last week where the Democrats knew they didn't have the votes, but they took a stand. They lost the vote, but I think they gained for a future day.
Future day is when they get this bill over there, and we're just hoping that they can be strong enough to stand by this bill and make it even stronger.
Now, I understand, too, that part of the problem is that our friend Speaker Pelosi doesn't have a unified caucus. And I would love to see putting the White House on a fiscal leash where you appropriate a third of the money that they need right now and say, well, you come back for another supplemental until we get this inside the defense, the actual annual defense appropriation bill. To me, giving them the whole $100 or $124 billion is too close to a blank check for the foreseeable future.
Actually, they don't get it all because we have to appropriate the money in the regular appropriations where we're going to put even stronger strings attached. And this does have measurable timelines. And if you read the bill, if they don't meet those benchmarks, then the rest of the money doesn't follow.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not giving up our authority over the purse strings.
Okay. But you do understand my point that you're essentially fulfilling the president's request, and I liked the MRTHA approach, which, you know, did put substantial restrictions on his ability to deploy troops who didn't have appropriate equipment and readiness.
Well, he's actually written this bill, but it doesn't satisfy all things he wants. And he's indicated that when he writes the serious bill, which is the appropriations bill, that those things will be in there. And it's going to be a very tough bill, because if we have a tough time getting votes on this, that's going to even be tougher.
I do understand that. Sam, do you have time to take a phone call, or do you need to hit the floor there?
I've got a vote right now. I'm waiting, you know, the clock ticks down.
Okay. Well, thank you.
On C-SPAN, and see us on. And this whole debate that we're going to have will be on C-SPAN this week as also.
And when will the vote?
I think it's scheduled either for. I think it's now going to come off Friday morning. It may come off Thursday night, whenever the rule. But first of all, I have to pass the rule on the debate.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to vote on that rule, and then they bring up the bill according to the plans within the bill, which set up the amount of time for the debate, whether any amendments are going to be made available, whether points of order get adopted. The rule is essentially the key to how the debate will be, both substance and form, how it will be carried out.
Okay. Thanks for spending time with us today.
Thank you very much, Peter. Always, you're doing a great program, and I really appreciate you being on the air.
Okay. Thank you very much. That's Congressman Sam Farr, Democrat from the Central Coast. As you heard, he has decided to vote for the Pelosi package. Not an easy vote, not getting everything he wants. And I have mixed feelings, as I have explained. I do understand the Hobson's choice that someone in his position has to make. And on the other hand, I believe that at the end of all this, Congress will have to take the drastic action of cutting off funding for this president. And by approving this $100, $124 billion package, it's not all for Iraq, not all $124, but it's roughly $100 for Iraq. And by approving this, they give the president a longer leash and more time to F it up. Let's go to the phone calls here in the next segment. No guests scheduled till the bottom of the hour. I'd love to hear your reaction to the remarks of Sam Farr. Pro or con? 888-5-PETER-B is our toll-free number. 888-573-8372. I'm your humble host, Peter B. Collins. You're listening to KRXA 540. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the old Granary building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
United States, you have many rights. You have the right to assemble. You have the right to free speech. You have the right to worship as you choose. And when you disagree with Billy Sunshine, you have the right to be wrong.
The Billy Sunshine Show, right here on KRXA 540 AM. Tune in Sundays 3 to 5.
ZNS Auto Sales in Monterey, family owned for 30 years, is where partnership works. Whether you're a first-time buyer and need a safe economy car, or looking for a truck or SUV or a classic, they have it all. Call ZNS before you make that final decision. ZNS open every day at 1179 Del Monte Boulevard between the Navy Post Graduate School and Lake El Estero. High-quality used cars at the very best prices. ZNS Auto Sales, where partnership works.
Every night, Jack Thomas camps out on a cold, lonely street corner. Tonight, some people almost brought him something to eat. Someone almost drove him to a shelter. Another almost brought him a warm blanket. And Jack Thomas, well, he almost made it through the night. Sometimes instead of giving, we almost give. But that's the same as not giving at all. Don't almost give. Give. Visit don'talmostgive.org. A message from the Ad Council.
It's 23 minutes after the hour. We opened up the show today with a conversation from the floor of the House of Representatives, one of those cloakrooms just off the side, with Democrat Sam Farr from Carmel. What'd you think?
He
Bush to Congress. On the ignoble fourth anniversary of his shock and awe invasion of Iraq, George W. Bush, looking like a cornered rat, gave a little press availability. It wasn't a news conference, just a spiel that he issued from the White House yesterday. And he basically lectured the Congress, saying, you better send me the money now. No restrictions, no strings attached, no benchmarks, no nothing. And if I don't like it, I'll veto it. Now, this is the guy who's only vetoed one bill in his entire presidency. That was the stem cell bill. And still, the Democrats have a very tough road ahead of them here. And I do believe that the leadership, Reid, Pelosi, joined by people like Barbara Lee, Lynn Woolsey, and Sam Farr, do have our ultimate goal in mind. But they cannot bring the entire Democratic caucus along with them. And so difficult compromises have been made. What do you think about that? I'd like to hear your thoughts at 888-5-PETER-B. Dave's on the line from Eureka. Hello, Dave.
Hey, Peter. I did want to share it with the congressman, but I know he was on the tight pace there. But
yeah, I tried to get him to take your call, and he said he had to go vote.
Yeah, I heard that. As you know, I am with Vets for Peace, The World Can't Wait, the Unitarian Social Action, and any number of other groups that are trying to get us out of this criminal war. And we all think the world of Sam Farr because almost invariably he, like a Kucinich, like a Barbara Lee, will vote his conscience. So it is really saddening to hear that he's got enough heat on him now to force him to do this vote, because I know he doesn't have his heart. He knows, that man knows, this is a criminal war. It's a war driven by big profits for special interest corporations, particularly those that are profiteering from the war.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know he does not want to support that even a little bit. How they are driving that, how can they put that much heat on the man to do that? You know, I know it's going to come down from AIPAC, from Lockheed Martin, from Bechtel, Halliburton. They'll run several million dollars against whoever runs against them, but...
Well, he's in a safe seat. I mean, Lee and Woolsey have essentially the same situation, that they are almost invincible at the biannual election. But I understand the point here, Dave, and I don't have a simple or easy cut-and-dried answer. If I were in his position, I'm not sure exactly what I would do, because it's true that Woolsey and Lee can take a principled position and vote against this and hope that that leads to something better down the pike. But they'll end up voting with the Republicans, which is a very awkward position to be in, for different reasons, obviously, but still a no vote on this is a no vote. And yet I feel at the end of the day, you cannot negotiate with these thugs. You cannot give them any more trust, any more money. You can't let them continue to mau-mau us with this, don't cut off money for the troops. Damn it, this is to cut off money for Bush's misguided war, not for the troops. And the troops will always be, you know, taken care of, although Walter Reed is a sorry spectacle in its own right. But, you know, the bottom line is that any congressional action would never be intended to hurt the troops, but they have to fear it being, you know, characterized that way by the Republicans. So no easy answer here. I don't support what MoveOn's 85% decided to in recommending this bill. And ideally, I'd love to see it go down to defeat to force them to come up with a better package. Unfortunately, the next package would be more in Bush's favor than in Pelosi's or ours.
Well, you know, I have to say, Peter, it's the word misguided is not the right one, because this is a war for big corporate special interest profits. Cheney, Bush, all these big greedy corporations they've got our treasury in their pocket, and that's what this war is all about.
Yeah. And I agree. Ultimately, the Democrats will have to swallow hard and cut off the money. And unfortunately, they're giving him an extension here that gets him through the end of this year, and then we're into the early electoral cycle of 2008 where things become even more complicated. Dave, I'm out of time. Thanks for your call today. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hey, good looking. tell you what I got cooking, Dinners Ready. I went to dinnersready.com, chose 8 gourmet dinners, made an appointment, and went to their storefront in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove and prepared the meals there myself. Now I'm cooking them in my own home.
What's that you say? Dinners Ready?
That's right, Dinners Ready. It's the newest concept in home cooking. They do all the shopping and chopping, and I get all the credit. If you're too busy to go in and make your dinners, they'll even do it for you. So sign up at dinnersready.com, stop by and see them in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove, or give them a call at 645-9100. That's 645-9100. Dinner's ready!
Join me, Deborah Lindsay, each Sunday afternoon at 2 for Tomorrow Matters. We'll be matching the global problems of today with the local solutions for a better tomorrow. I'll bring in the guests, and you call with the questions and ideas, and collectively we'll set the standards for a more sustainable future, because for all of us, tomorrow matters. Join me right here on KRXA 540 AM for Tomorrow Matters each Sunday at 2.
This is Frank Don. On Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. here on KRXA 540 AM, join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour, a live call-in program to discuss astrology, the astrology of the world, and your own personal astrology. Let me answer your questions, and let me teach you how astrology can help you make better life choices. Here on KRXA 540 AM from 7 to 8 every Sunday evening, join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
There's more than one side to every issue. Actually, there's usually more than two sides. It's important to get a different perspective on issues and current events, and that's what we'll provide you on Thursday nights at 10 on KRXA 540. Our show is called, appropriately enough, A Different Perspective. I'm Jack Quirk, and I'm your host. I have guests with a unique angle on current issues. I'm often joined by Phil Ropp and other guest co-hosts who bring their own expertise to our discussions. Join us each Thursday night at 10 for A Different Perspective here on KRXA 540.
Hi, this is Stephanie Miller. You know how much I love the Monterey Peninsula. You've got it all. Mountains, the sea, some of the best box wine I've ever had. You also have a great radio station, KRXA, your progressive prescription. So join me, voice guy extraordinaire Jim Ward, and producer Chris Lavoie as we take back America every weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m., right here on AM 540.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage.
Oh, let's put a stop to that.
Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
33 minutes after the hour, I'm live from San Francisco. Glad you're listening wherever you are, however you do it, including our listeners in Phoenix, Arizona, who log on to peterbcollins.com. Coming up next hour, Ray Kimball joins us from the Iraq-Afghanistan Veterans of America. We're going to talk about post-traumatic stress disorder and, in particular, sexual harassment of rape and rape of women in uniform. Powerful article in Sunday's New York Times Magazine. Hope you had a chance to read that.
Don't stop,
Joining us right now is Professor Frances Fox Piven. Her most recent book is The War at Home, The Domestic Costs of Bush's Militarism. And she is the Distinguished Professor of Political Science and Sociology at the Graduate School and University Center at City University of New York. Professor, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Glad to talk to you. Hello.
Nice to talk with you today. And about 20 minutes ago, we had a brief conversation with Democratic Congressman Sam Farr, who represents the Central Coast of California, where we're live on KRXA Radio out of Monterey. And we discussed with him the very difficult vote that he cast one in the Appropriations Committee in favor of what I would call the Pelosi package, the Democratic package that's going to come to the House floor for a vote, he thinks, on Friday of this week. And it does present very difficult choices for the members of the Out of Iraq Caucus, like Mr. Farr, Congresswoman Barbara Lee and Lynn Woolsey, counterparts from a little north in California. And I just wanted to get your thoughts on these difficult choices, the compromises that have been made, and whether you think that this will help achieve the ultimate goal, which is to end Bush's war in Iraq and bring our troops home.
It's too timid, I think. They're taking too long. They're allowing, really, they're creating the conditions which could permit our troops to stay there for as much as another year. In that time, how many more will be killed? How many Iraqis will be killed? They don't have to do that. Barbara Lee's resolution was a good one. She's willing to spend money, but it should be spent to bring the troops home now, to keep them safe. And we should also spend money in restoring Iraq. But the sort of staged timeline that is included in the Pelosi bill, it's an effort to straddle the conflict, really, between what Democrats want, what the Democratic voters want, and the concern about in the Congress about standing for election in 2008 and the fear that if something goes wrong, they'll be blamed, but they should, they really should swallow their fears of their own that have to do with their own electoral careers and take a bold position. The moral issues are very large here. People dying for nothing. This war is lost. And the longer we stay there, the more Americans will be killed, the more money will be spent that should be spent on domestic needs here, and the more Iraqis will be killed. Many more Iraqis, of course, than Americans. It's a disaster.
Well, and the message of the president on the fourth anniversary of his ignominious decision to commit our troops and use the shock and awe campaign to take out Saddam Hussein and lead to this occupation that he clearly didn't expect to go on nearly this long. What the message he offered yesterday was the message of an extortionist, saying that you must give us this money, you must give it to us with no strings attached or I'll veto it, and that he's essentially saying if you don't, the mess that I have created, of course he never acknowledges that, but the mess will spin out of control. And so he's basically using the threat of things getting worse to try to coax the Congress into writing another essentially blank check.
And the more cautious Democrats are afraid of Republican charges that they've allowed things to get worse. So they're voting for the Pelosi package, which, as I said, is too timid. And in the end, it's immoral. We know, they know, the Pelosi package says we have to withdraw, but they're allowing all the murder to continue for 4 months, 6 months, a year, in order to save their own necks in the next election. The solution, I think, really rests with the anti-war movement, making it too hot for them to continue this sort of dabbling.
Well, don't we also need some Republicans? I use the term advisedly principled Republicans, but we do need Republican votes in both houses in order to sustain this this effort in the direction of moving us out of Iraq and ending the war.
Well, that's not the direction that Pelosi is threatening to go. Today I picked up a report that said that she is arguing with the Democrats who are reluctant to allow this extra money for a surge, for extended war in Iraq. She's threatening them with putting a clean bill, meaning we'll give $100 billion for the war without any conditions before the House, and getting Republicans to sign on to that bill. I think that's pretty discouraging after the last election.
Yeah, I don't support that. Well, one of the things I talked about with Congressman Farr, and I acknowledge that I'm not in his shoes, and it's pretty easy to offer free advice just sitting behind a microphone. But, you know, there was talk earlier this year as the Democrats were transitioning into control of the House and the marginal control of the Senate about forcing the administration to get honest with the cost of the war and stop this Enron accounting technique where we keep our losses offshore or off budget, out of the main Pentagon annual budget. And what I would like to have seen is the president asked for $100 billion, give him $30 and say, you know, here are the restrictions on this money. It's the clear sense of Congress that it's time to go home, and we want you to move quickly in that direction. But you won't get the whole $100 billion. You're going to have to come back, and what we ultimately want you to do is come back to us with a 2008 fiscal year request that has this identified in the regular Pentagon budget, not these stopgap supplementals.
Well, I agree with that, but I also think that any supplemental budget that's passed by the Congress ought to say clearly what the money is to be used for, and it should not be used to pursue the war. It should be used to bring the troops home and to restore Iraq to the point where people have electricity, to the point where, you know, their oil wells are functioning. The place is a wreck. And the continued war in Iraq will not do anything about that. So they're not muscular enough. I think we're saying the same thing in that sense. They're not muscular enough because they're trying to avoid any fire from the right. And the solution to that is to give them some fire from the left, from the peace movement.
Well, let me offer two thoughts and ask for your reaction. Number one, vis-a-vis the Republicans, they are always going to mischaracterize the Democratic position and attempt to make political gains on it. So whether it's a slow bleed, cut and run, they're always going to have a catchy phrase that Frank Luntz has focus grouped, and the attack will be there no matter what the Democrats do. Number two, Bush, you know, pretends that if we stay in Iraq long enough, that a love fest will break out between the Shiites and the Sunnis. And we have, lifted the kind of balance of terror that was imposed by Saddam Hussein. And you cannot, rebuild that in any meaningful way. They'll have to create a monster of their own, whether it's a dictatorship or, partitioning of the country. But it's very clear to me that our military presence will not pacify Iraq, will not cause these parties to form any sort of a unity government. And that, you know, we are only buying time. We're not buying anything else with these stopgap measures.
Well, I agree with that. But I think that the price that we're paying for buying time, and it's time not for Iraqis and not for Americans. It's time for the Bush administration. They're buying the time. The time until the 2008 election, I suppose. A lot of the Iraq war can be explained by the concern of the Republicans to try to win elections in 2002 and 2004. They tried in 2006 and they didn't succeed. They're trying to win elections by using war, jingoism, the war emergency to fire up Americans and get them to vote Republican. They've done that for 4 years now, and we ought to put a stop to that. But the this doesn't mean that we should not make proposals and try to put some of our muscle and some of our money behind proposals to try to bring a degree of peace to Iraq. We are responsible for much of the chaos and much of the bloodshed. So there should be some kind of international authority, maybe an authority created by the governments in the region to try to suppress the conflict between the Sunnis and the Shias in Iraq. This civil war that has now broken out and is, you know, going full scale, this civil war has a lot to do with our invasion, all of which was not exactly a mistake, but a duplicitous move that we still haven't come to confront.
Mm-hmm.
Just how much the media was, in a way, implicated in the duplicity. There were a lot of people who were saying in 2002 that there were a lot of responsible people who had reason to know that there were no weapons of mass destruction, that there was no connection between Saddam and Al-Qaeda,
mm-hmm.
That all of this was a huge hoax being perpetrated in order to stir up a kind of frenzy in the United States to allow not only the Bush team to win elections and win them big, but to allow them to continue their rape of the American economy in the form of tax cuts, subsidies for the energy industry, subsidies for the pharmaceuticals. And that story has not yet been told,
mm-hmm.
not told in a way that most Americans can hear it.
Now, I'm aware of your book, but haven't read The War at Home, The Domestic Costs of Bush's Militarism. In a minute or so, tell us what the key points there are and how things would have been different if we didn't have the tax cuts and we didn't have the burden of this costly war in Iraq that's already over $500 billion.
Well, the central argument of the book is that you can't understand what now in retrospect seems to have been a mad, crazy move to invade Iraq unless you pay attention not only to the stakes in oil that were involved. After all, we are not getting any oil out of Iraq. That's mostly being siphoned off by various kinds of looters.
No, but they took 2 million gallons or barrels a day off the market, which has helped jack up the price of all the rest of the available oil.
Right. That's true. That the war did that. That's true. So we didn't do it to get oil for us. We did it, importantly, or they did it. I didn't do it. You didn't do it.
No.
They did it. They did it because they saw war as a way to jack up the standing of the Republican Party and Republican operatives, and also the defense military industrial complex. This going to war was made it possible to feed a number of important Bush constituencies,
mm-hmm.
Including the big money lobbyists in energy and the pharmaceuticals. Look at the contractors.
Yeah.
Halliburton's stock tripled
the
course of the war. So they won elections. They won the 2002 election. Look at what they did to anti-war candidates.
Mm-hmm.
They pummeled them.
Max Cleland Exhibit A there. Professor,
a hero of the Vietnam War.
I need to run to a break. I'm sorry to cut in, but we'll continue in just a moment with Professor Frances Fox Piven. She is from the University Center at the City University of New York. We'll go to the phones next. If you're on the line, stay there. If you want to join us, call now. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
So it means that our investigation turned up nothing.
If somebody testifies by him before a grand jury, doesn't mean he's involved.
And it's flat out absurd. Bush was begging that governor on the Sunday before the hurricane hit to get people out of there and declare an emergency.
It's all crazy propaganda. The Joseph Goebbels Network.
Bush was on the phone with her. They were thinking about sending a military in because the state and local people weren't acting fast enough.
It is certain that some self-possessed judge somewhere will soon rule that three men are three women for me.
Yet Iraqis are united in a broad and deep conviction. 12 government ministries are currently under the direct control of Iraqis. I don't think that's too high a standard.
If you retire, you don't have anything to worry about. Probably say it three more times. See, in my line of work, you've got to keep repeating things over and over and over again for the truth to sink in. You've got to catapult the propaganda.
Hello, everybody. This is R.J. Moyer. Join me Sunday nights from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. for Sports Phone KRXA. Now all of us Monday morning quarterbacks can get together Sunday nights and talk about football, baseball, basketball, tennis, golf, hockey, softball, volleyball, kickball, bocce ball, bowling, rugby, lacrosse. Well, maybe we won't talk about rugby and lacrosse, but join me anyway for Sports Phone KRXA, Sunday nights from 6 p.m. until 7 p.m.
We're going.
Tom Hartman.
As a country, we should have a national trade policy. And that trade policy should, at its core, at the very least, say that, by and large, we want to make sure that if we are buying $1 trillion worth of stuff from the rest of the world, that we are selling $1 trillion worth of stuff to the rest of the world.
It's the Tom Hartman Program.
Because otherwise, we end up a banana republic.
Tom Hartman. Weekday mornings, 10 to noon, on KRXA 540.
B. Collins Show. Say it again. That's Edwin Starr, Vietnam era protest music, 1970. It's just called War. And another icon of the Vietnam War was out in the streets of San Francisco yesterday. I was at the protest march on Sunday, and they handed out flyers for a die-in, civil disobedience, scheduled for Monday. And, sure, it happened. There were 57 people arrested, including Daniel Ellsberg. And Ellsberg offered this comment to the San Francisco Chronicle. I spent this same day in jail in Washington during shock and awe 4 years ago, and I'm sorry to say that I did expect the war would still be going on this long. That was Ellsberg's comment moments after his release from San Francisco County Jail, where the 57 activists were cited and released. We're talking with Professor Francis Fox Piven from City University of New York. Her most recent book, The War at Home, The Domestic Costs of Bush's Militarism. And Xavier joins us from Santa Cruz. Hello, Xavier. You're on the air.
Oh, hi, Peter.
Hi, how are you?
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, it's a little crunchy. Go ahead.
Okay, I switched to a better phone. I guess it's not better. Well, before I make my comment, I just want to briefly suggest that KRXA consider The Young Turks. It's a show that comes on early in the morning. You guys check it out and listen to it. I think you find it's a really good show.
I actually know the guys, and I've met the girl, too. There are three of them on that show.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, my point is I heard Tom Hartman mention this, and I haven't heard too many other people mention it. I'm concerned. I think we should try to end the war as soon as possible. And what concerns me about the Democrats, there's a lot of forehead-smacking things that they do make me think that there's some kind of conspiracy, that they just do the exact wrong thing. And what it seems like they're doing here is they're planning on ending the war just in time for the 2008 elections to hand the presidency to the Republicans and give them a lot of credit. And I'm just...
You meant to the Democrats?
the Democrats, no, if we end the war, mm-hmm. right about the time of the end of Bush's presidency, it will appear that Bush did it.
Oh, I see.
And you think
it'll benefit the Republicans?
I think it'll benefit the Republicans. I do.
Yeah.
I'm concerned about that. And I'd get you guys' thoughts on it, I guess. Maybe
well,
you won't,
I understand your comment. See, to me, these things are so fluid that any political calculation that's purely political will probably fall on its face. Let's get the professor's comment.
Okay, thanks.
Mm-hmm. Well, I do think that the Democrats are worried about the 2008 election. I said something about that earlier.
Yeah.
They're not worried that Bush can take credit for ending the war, because I think Bush is going to be forever saddled with having started the war. I don't think that's possible, that he can take credit for ending it. But I think they're worried about being charged in that campaign by Republicans, presumably, with responsibility for things that can go wrong in Iraq after we withdraw. Now, things are going wrong in Iraq right now, and they're going very badly wrong, and every week they go wronger. There are more incidents. There are more bombings. There are even the electrical grid in Baghdad is not working.
Right.
Nothing works in Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
So the Democrats are they're trying to compromise and wobble and straddle the difference. In a certain way, you can't blame them, because they're electoral operatives. They
mm-hmm.
work in terms of elections and the calculus of elections. That's why I think the anti-war movement is so important, because it does not operate in terms of the calculus of trying to split the difference in order to win a majority.
Right.
It raises the issues. It's flamboyant. It's demonstrative, and it forces the Democrats to deal with issues they would rather not. They would like the Pelosi package to go through. Of course they would like it to go through, because they don't have to make many choices, and it doesn't expose them too much. If they were to push instead for legislation that would make any funding, tie any funding to withdrawal, the safe withdrawal of American troops and some reconstruction of Iraq, then, you know, it's not going to be peaceful after they withdraw. It's going to be hell.
Mm-hmm.
And that hell is something they're worried about, because the Republicans will try to tar them with it.
Yeah, and I see the ghost of Curtis LeMay here, Professor, who told us after we had left, Vietnam with our tail between legs, that he could have won it if we just would have let him
nuke the
whole country. And I feel like the surge here is an effort to say, oh, we would have won, but the Democrats stopped us.
Yeah, that's what they'll say.
All right, let's take another call. Before we run out of time, here's Scott in Monterey. Go ahead, Scott.
Yeah, hi, Peter B. and Professor. I got a quick one. Let's see. The protest, I did the protest on Sunday also, and I think if we were to actually get people that have computers that could print messages out and post them mm-hmm. on to telephone poles, we could bombard the streets with our own propaganda that Bush is shoving down our throats, and they would be on all the streets, on all the intersections, all over the United States, and pretty soon the Republicans would just say, "Oh, it looks like we're not in the majority." You know, that is a thing, you know.
Well, we need to do it in Omaha, because there are plenty of signs in Berkeley and San Francisco that talk about the war and say impeach Bush.
We should be on air in Omaha, actually.
Well, that'd be lovely. We're working on that. Well, thank you for the call, sir. And, Professor, thank you for joining us today, Francis Fox Piven.
Pleasure to talk to you.
We'll do it again.
Bye-bye.
Thank you very much. And I'm sorry we didn't have time for everybody's call, but the Free Speech Zone is an hour away, and you can join us then. Coming up right after the news, Ray Kimball joins us from Iraq, Afghanistan, Vets of America. We'll talk about post-traumatic stress disorder and sexual harassment and rape of women in uniform. That's next.
The healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance, Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
We want to welcome Assemblywoman Anna Caballero back to the show. How are you?
I'm doing terrific. Thank you very much for the invitation.
We are so glad to have you on. We were at the victory party for you, and you were so happy, and rightfully so.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, right up until you asked me to leave the party. You and Lucy, that was it.
Well, it was the dancing on the table that got you. The TV cameras were there. It just didn't look right.
I got you.
The show on KRXA 540 AM.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
In the fired prosecutor's investigation, an offer on the table.
These extraordinary steps offered today to the majority in Congress demonstrate a reasonable solution to the issue.
But Democrats say no deal.
The offer is incomplete, and that would be putting as kind a face on it as we could.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. President Bush is pushing back against Democrats in Congress who are all over the controversial firings of eight U.S. attorneys. He said the Justice Department has already provided more than 3,000 pages of documents. Attorney General Gonzalez and other justice officials will testify on Capitol Hill. The White House will also provide material, but Mr. Bush warned against a showdown over executive privilege.
It will be regrettable if they choose to head down the partisan road of issuing subpoenas and demanding show trials when I have agreed to make key White House officials and documents available.
Those officials would talk to Congress, but not under oath.
Democrats soundly rejected the president's offer as both the House and Senate Judiciary Committees prepared to authorize subpoenas for top White House aide Karl Rove and former counsel Harriet Myers. The offer was for a private conversation, says Democratic Senator Chuck Schumer.
A conversation's fine. But let's have a conversation under oath with a transcript.
Even as this confrontation over witnesses brews, the Senate voted overwhelmingly today to strip the Attorney General of the right to name new U.S. attorneys without Senate confirmation.
By simply returning the law to what it was before.
Reversing a provision, says Democratic Senator Dianne Feinstein, sneaked into the Patriot Act at a time the White House was already planning these firings. Bob Fuzz, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
The White House disputes a report that it's looking for the Attorney General's replacement, and even if Alberto Gonzalez has lost support in Congress, the president says...
He's got support with me.
Now this.
The following is an OnStar conversation.
Senator, this is Laura. How may I help you?
Hey, Laura. My name is Nathan.
How are you today?
Pretty good. First of all, I just want to say I thank y'all. I just got my truck. My truck was stolen this morning. Y'all located it for me.
I'm glad, sir.
And I'm already back in my truck.
It's a good feeling to be back in your Silverado, isn't it, sir?
Oh, yeah.
If your vehicle is stolen, OnStar can work with authorities to help them locate it.
Is everything okay then?
Yeah, my truck's fine. I'm still having my first year service, and I would like to start my service permanently.
Well, that's a good idea then, isn't it? I'd be more than happy to do that for you today.
Only GM offers so many vehicles with the peace of mind of OnStar.
Well, I'm glad everything worked out for you today, sir.
All right, thank you.
The first year of OnStar service is included on new OnStar-equipped GM vehicles and covers unlimited use of all safety and security services. To experience OnStar, press your blue button or visit OnStar.com. OnStar by GM.
The FBI was in the Capitol Hill hot seat today as Congress looked into abuses of the Patriot Act.
I'm Dan Revive in Washington. The FBI might lose authority expanded after 9/11 to collect phone and financial records simply by issuing national security letters. House committee members warned the FBI General Counsel Valerie Caproni, who admitted that around 200 out of 20,000 requests per year can't be justified.
A 1% error rate is not acceptable, and we have taken steps to reduce it.
Adding that the FBI needs the trust of all Americans so they'll help be on the lookout for terrorism. Dan Revive, CBS News, Washington.
The good news came this morning in McGrady, North Carolina.
We have our Boy Scout home with his family.
After three cold nights in the mountains, 12-year-old Michael Aubrey was found less than a mile from the campsite where he was last seen on Saturday afternoon. It was a dog named Gandalf who picked up Michael's scent. His owner, Misha Marshall, says the boy was a little dazed when they found him.
took him a minute, but he realized, you know, who we were. And, you know, he's been out there for a few days, so he's, you know, a little disoriented, but he's good.
He was tired and dehydrated. The boy's relieved father, Kent, says his son left camp on his own.
He was homesick, and he started walking. And at one point when he was walking, I think he thought maybe he'd walk as far as the road and hitchhike home. And we're going to have our lectures about hitchhiking again. We've had them in the past, but with a special vigor, we'll go over that.
Albury says Michael slept in tree branches or curled up under rocks. He drank water from mountain streams. A government report says a government agency, the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, shares some of the blame for the 2005 explosion at BP's Texas City refinery. That blast killed 15 people and injured 170. Today's report says OSHA wasn't vigilant enough to spot problems before they led to disaster. Some progress in the custody battle over Anna Nicole Smith's infant daughter. A judge in the Bahamas has ordered a DNA test on the child to identify her father. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
This is Charles Osgood of the Osgood File. Is orange juice part of your morning routine? I switched to Welch's 100% grape juice because it has twice the antioxidant power of orange juice. And you may have heard a diet naturally rich in antioxidants is good for you. Not only does drinking Welch's 100% grape juice help promote a healthy heart, but emerging research suggests it may help to protect memory and brain health as well. And it's nice to know Welch's is made from Concord grapes grown right here in America by Welch's farmer owners. So drink Welch's 100% grape juice for an unmistakably delicious way to add antioxidants to your diet. This is Charles Osgood. See you on the Osgood File.
I was in a car accident the other day. Nothing major, but enough to ruin my day. Well, I'm a Progressive customer, and they have these claim service centers where you just drive in, sign a couple forms, and drive away in a rental until your car's fixed. They even guarantee the repairs for as long as you have your car. And the first thing they asked me was, are you all right? First thing my buddies asked was, how's the car?
Get more for your money. Visit Progressive.com or your local independent agent. Progressive. It's about you, and it's about time.
Progressive Casualty and Direct Insurance Companies and their affiliates. Mayfield Village.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from the dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to this hour of the Peter B. Collins Show. A little bit later, Jason Leopold and his weekly visit. We're going to talk about the Gonzalez situation and the firing of those U.S. attorneys. We'll get more on that next hour, too, from Melanie Sloan of CREW.
I would walk 10 miles on my hands and knees. Ain't no doubt about it, baby, it's you I am the bees. I'm wrestle with a lion and a grizzly bear. It's my life, baby, but
that's Kim Wilson and the Fabulous T-Birds. Four years ago today is when we woke up and found out that we had begun the invasion of Iraq. Started with the shock and awe bombing campaign. And this is one of the military missions that has involved women more than ever before in American history. There's a powerful piece that was published this past Sunday in the New York Times Magazine, and we credit the author Sarah Corbett for her work on this. She spent several years traveling all over the country to follow individuals, particularly women, who have served in Iraq and identify some of the problems they have encountered, particularly sexual harassment, rape, and something that they share with their male counterparts in uniform. Post-traumatic stress disorder. First of all, some data from the article. More than 160,000 female soldiers have been deployed to Iraq and Afghanistan. Today, one of every 10 soldiers in Iraq is female. And the numbers and the analysis of women who have served coming home are quite sobering. 2 years after deployment to the Gulf War, where combat exposure was relatively low, Army data showed that 16% of a sample of female soldiers studied met diagnostic criteria for post-traumatic stress disorder, as opposed to 8% of their male counterparts. A 2003 report financed by the Department of Defense revealed that nearly one-third of a nationwide sample of female veterans seeking health care through the VA said that they experienced rape or attempted rape during their service. One-third. Of that group, 37% said they were raped multiple times. 14% reported they were gang raped. Perhaps even more tellingly, a small study financed by the VA following the Gulf War suggests that rates of both sexual harassment and assault rise during wartime. And these stories are in some ways rolled up into an icon, and her name is Suzanne Swift. And if you're a regular on this program, you may know that we've talked about Suzanne Swift before. Courageous soldier from Oregon who was subjected to what's known as command rape. And that is, she acquiesced to a superior officer who made sexual demands on her. And when she realized that she could not return to Iraq, she went AWOL. And Jeff Millard, an Iraq War vet who also is an activist and who publishes video pieces at truthout.org, first brought her story to our attention. And so to discuss this today, we invited Ray Kimball, who is a representative of IAVA, that's Iraq, Afghanistan, Veterans of America, to join us on the program. He's an Army major who served in Operation Iraqi Freedom. And first and foremost, Ray, I thank you for your service, and I'm delighted that you could join us today.
Thank you very much, Peter. It's great to be on.
These are difficult issues, and tell me first and foremost just about your observations serving in combat with women. Now, we know that women are not assigned combat roles, but in Iraq, this has not made them safer because they are often driving trucks or doing other support functions that have actually exposed them to danger equal to or in some cases greater than being in a foxhole on the front.
Absolutely, Peter, and let me give you a great example from my own experience. I served in the initial invasion of Iraq in 2003, and I ran what's called an aviation maintenance company, which meant I was responsible for the fueling, fixing, and arming of 16 Army helicopters. I was attached to, I was part of what's called the Divisional Cavalry Squadron, which is the eyes and ears of the division. So we led the 3rd Infantry Division, which was, if you remember, was the lead Army division that went in.
Right.
We led the 3rd Infantry Division all the way to Baghdad. Well, 10% of my unit was women because these are the unit that I command was a support unit. It's open to women. So these women that were in my unit, one of whom was actually my second in command, were actually in front of most of the infantry units, all male combat exclusion units. They were actually in front of most of those infantry units for almost the entire initial invasion.
Mm-hmm.
So certainly the way we're fighting now, the fact that it's a nonlinear battlefield, the fact that we're fighting an insurgency now, 4 years on, really is blurring the distinction between what are combat and non-combat roles.
And we'll talk a little later about PTSD and how it does appear to be, in some cases, more prevalent in the females who've served than in the average male. But when you think of what a woman has to deal with being in the military service, being in a combat zone, and then you add sexual harassment and rape to it, it's really got to put a whole lot of stress on women, and even those who haven't been physically assaulted by males have to take great caution going to the latrine in the middle of the night. It's a fairly hostile environment to women, at least as it's described by these victims of, military abuse.
Sure. This issue really resonates with me, not only because I commanded women, but because also my wife is also a serving officer.
Oh, really?
And I'll tell you, when she read the article, she really had two reactions. And her first reaction was, this is unacceptable. I cannot believe these women were treated this way. But she was also very concerned that people would walk away with the impression that this is the way all women are treated in the military. And her feeling was that this did not represent her experience, in large part because she has been very assertive and she has really made it kind of a mission of hers to mentor other women to make it clear that not only are these acts unacceptable, but they must be reported and they must be dealt with immediately.
Well, so, and Suzanne Swift and the others cited in the article say that they kind of adopted an attitude that it wouldn't do any good to report it, and when they did, most often their perpetrator was either mildly punished or not punished at all.
Absolutely. And again, completely unacceptable. And it really goes back to the fact that so much of this is a function of command climate. Commanders who take these things seriously, commanders who make it clear to their units from day one that this kind of conduct is unacceptable, that it degrades cohesion, it degrades unit readiness, and it breaks down the bonds of trust that are so critical. Commanders who do that from day one really are able to deal with these problems much better. I'm not saying sexual assaults don't happen in those units, but I am saying that they are handled much, much better than what you're seeing here. So really what you're seeing in these articles is a failure of two things. One, it's obviously a complete breakdown of discipline, and there's no excuse for that. But it's also a failure of the command in these soldiers' units to really set the right tone and make it clear that this conduct is unacceptable.
And Ray Kimball, some of these, and I want to be clear that this is anecdotal information drawn from this article, but some of these women reported that the rapes or sexual harassment of a serious nature occurred before they got to Iraq, in Guam, in Central America. So is this something that is heightened in a war zone, in an Islamic country where, you know, there are no girly bars, there are no outlets for, you know, soldiers to deal with their sexual urges, and so it tends to get them to focus on the women nearby who are their fellow soldiers. But that said, my point still stands that it appears that this is not limited to the Iraqi theater.
Oh, absolutely it's not limited to the Iraqi theater. I mean, we have statistics on sexual assault in garrison. For that matter, we have statistics on sexual assault within American society. So this isn't just a problem limited to the military. What this really is more than anything else is it's a breakdown of discipline and it's a breach of trust. And let's be honest here. The reality is that a soldier who will assault a fellow soldier will have no qualms about doing that to an Iraqi civilian, to an Afghan civilian, to a foreign civilian woman, where that hurdle would be much less than attacking a female soldier. So this argument of, oh, well, soldiers don't have an outlet, or, oh, it's caused by the presence of women in units, is frankly not an acceptable answer.
Well, and when we see this highlighted and identified, it just makes me more angry at General Pace's remarks last week maligning gays who want to serve openly in the military, because he talked about, you know, the comparable morality of heterosexuals committing adultery. But he didn't address these issues at all, and these are occurring right under his nose on his watch.
You know, what happens many times is that when you have all-male units, like many combat arms units are, armor and infantry, those units tend to think, oh, well, this isn't something we have to worry about because we don't have women in these units, okay? That is, frankly, General Pace's background. He's a Marine infantryman. The reality, though, is that, again, we are pushing support more and more farther forward. We have greater integration with civilian populations all the time. And so this is an issue that has to be addressed force-wide. It is no longer just a woman issue. It is a military issue and has to be addressed as such.
We're talking with Ray Kimball, Army Major. If you have a question or comment about the issues that women face when they serve in uniform, and in particular, if you're a woman in the Monterey area or elsewhere who has worn or is currently wearing our uniform and you want to talk about this, call me now. I'd like to hear your comments at 888-5-PETER-B. It's toll-free, 888-573-8372. You're in tune with the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540. If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
Aloha, I'm Jay.
And I'm Ginger.
And we would like to invite you to our family restaurant at Pizza Paradise, serving the biggest, best, and boldest pizzas from our Marina location at 215 Reservation Road. It's in the Marina Village Shopping Center across from Wells Fargo Bank. Try one of our specialty pizzas like the Ginger's Island Paradise, or for the meat lovers, the Meet Me in Paradise. We're open Tuesday through Sunday and offer a banquet room for up to 80 people. We deliver to Marina and CSUMB.
Call 582-9149.
It's a Pizza Paradise.
That's 582-9149.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
For over 30 years, I have been helping people restore their skin's natural beauty. This is Claudie Assalit of Claudie Skincare Studio in Carmel. I bring a certain je ne sais quoi, as well as 3 decades of experience in top spas and salons. Claudie Skincare Studio features a selection of the finest products, and I am always training to stay at the cutting edge of skincare technology. At Claudie Skincare Studio, we specialize in healing facials, peels, Reiki, waxing, lash tinting, as well as nutritional advice to ensure your skin vibrancy and good health. To set up an appointment, call me Claudie Assalit at 625-4101. That is 625-4101. Smooth, soft, beautiful skin can be yours. Call 625-4101. A bientôt.
And a very pleasant good afternoon to you. Let's give you the very latest and make sure that you get to your destination safely. So we're going to tell you a little about what's happening in Salinas right now, northbound 101 at Russell Road. We have an injury crash. This is a pickup truck and another car. It's on its side on the right shoulder. We do have a tow truck on scene to remove that pickup truck. Santa Cruz, Highway 1, southbound ramp to Morrissey. The on and off ramps are shut down and 24 hours a day for road work that is scheduled. It's typically going on through May 1st. Santa Cruz northbound 1, the ramp to Emmeline, the on ramp there and off ramp shut down 24 hours a day because of road work scheduled through the 31st of December. This report brought to you by your Genuine Toyota Service Department through March. Through March, visit your local participating Toyota Service Center. Again, you could win 2 tickets to the Toyota Save Mart 350. No purchase necessary. That's Traffic and Carrick's Hay.
We're talking about the treatment of women in the military and post-traumatic stress disorder. I'm Peter B. Collins. My guest is Ray Kimball, Army Major who served in Operation Iraqi Freedom, and he's a representative of IAVA, that's Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America. Great information on their website and some blogs, too, at IAVA.org if you'd like to check them out. Ray, a couple of minutes ago I was struck by your remark that your wife has served as an officer. And I'm wondering, given this information, the treatment and particularly the sexual issues related to women serving, particularly in a combat zone, do you or your wife have any reservations about current policy? And certainly, I'm an equal opportunity guy, and I believe that women should be, able to access any opportunities that we offer within reason. But do you think, given all that we know, that we should review the policy of assigning women to combat zones?
sure. I think we should, although I think my approach may somewhat surprise you. I think we should revisit the combat exclusion policy and remove the restriction on women serving in combat units.
Hmm.
I frankly do believe that. I think we ought to make service in combat units contingent on physical standards and physical ability rather than on gender. Because part of what is driving this, part of what drives this sense, part of what would give a male soldier a sense that he could attack a female soldier with impunity would be a sense that that female soldier is somehow not equal to him.
Hmm.
Sexual assault is about power. It's
yeah.
not about gender.
Yeah.
And so long term, the way we fix this is by getting women in positions of power and responsibility in the military. That is only going to happen when women serve in the combat arms.
That is a surprising answer, but I can't say I disagree with you. I do agree that it is an issue of power and that that inequity contributes to the vulnerability of women that, as we've seen expressed in this article in the Sunday Times magazine. So does your wife do anything different? The women described in this article, some of them have self-esteem problems, some of them drink too much and go out and party and have regrets about things that occur under those circumstances. But how does your wife approach this in a way that you feel keeps her safe?
My wife approaches things first from a personal perspective of common sense, of just simple protective measures, including understanding simple self-defense. But more to the point, because she's an officer, she sees that she has a specific responsibility to model both behavior and command climate for junior soldiers, for soldiers who are lower-ranking officers, and certainly for lower-ranking enlisted soldiers of both genders. And while I would not presume to speak for her, I think she really feels a responsibility to model, one, that women are equal partners in the military and are playing a needed and vital role, and also that violence between soldiers of any kind, sexual or otherwise, is unacceptable.
And just a personal question, who's the higher ranking officer?
Strictly speaking, I outrank her by about 6 months, but I would never dare to pull rank on my wife because that would definitely end badly.
Now, let's talk about medical care and follow-up care for these particularly women returning with the combination of PTSD, which we're working on, but certainly the military health care system and the VA can't claim to have figured out exactly how to deal with it and what
sure.
the appropriate therapies are. But when it's compounded by the sexual issues of rape or harassment, that can make it more difficult for these women to even ask for help.
Absolutely. One of the points of the article that I thought was just so well put was describing one of the women's experience in trying to go into a group therapy session for PTSD. And group therapy is a fantastic way of tackling PTSD. It's a way of bonding with other veterans, of sharing experiences, of understanding you're not alone. What was described in the article was that the group that she went to was all male except for her. And some of these guys were describing sexual crimes that they had committed while they were on service. Some of them had described beating their wife. And so this woman who was sitting in there who's trying to process all this, it really just pushed her that much farther down the hill. So again, part of this is really not only understanding that treatment's important, but also understanding like treatment is important, that women have to reach out to women and help provide the support network.
Well, the systems are certainly incapable of providing the level of care we know we need just for the people who are in the system now.
Sure. This is one of the things in IAVA's legislative agenda that we're pushing right now, is that we really feel that the Veterans Administration system, that as it's set up right now, is full of wonderful people, caring people, but it has not been given the resources it needs to deal with what we know is going to be a huge crush of veterans who are going to have mental and physical health issues. And so one of the things that we call for is the funding of what's called the independent budget, which is a joint budget put together by veteran service organizations to really fund these VA systems at the level that they need in order to be sustainable.
And I believe, based on the duration of these conditions that we've seen, particularly from Vietnam, that we need to put funding in place and maintain it for at least 20, if not 30 years going forward.
Absolutely.
If we are to prevent another generation of veterans from living on our streets.
It's absolutely generational, and it also affects readiness. I mean, this isn't just a veterans issue. This is also a current military issue. Soldiers right now are looking to see how the current generation of veterans is being treated. And if they see them getting substandard care, if they see them not being treated with the kind of treatment and the kind of respect they deserve, those soldiers are going to vote with their feet. So this isn't just a generational issue, although certainly 20, 40 years down the road, this is still something we'll be dealing with. It's also very much a readiness issue right now.
Yeah. Ray, thanks for joining us today. I really appreciate your comments, and thanks for being willing to say what you think and not just tell us what you think we want to hear.
Thank you so much, Peter. It was great being here.
Army Major Ray Kimble, a member of Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America, on the web, iava.org. Coming up next, Jason Leopold weighs in. We'll talk about Alberto Gonzalez. That's next here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Politics in the Justice Department. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. Some members of Congress seem to believe that the Bush administration has been politicizing the Justice Department, that those fired U.S. attorneys lost their jobs because they put even-handed law enforcement ahead of the political needs of the Republican Party. And now, the White House has released 3,000 pages of emails and other documents demanded by Congress. I started reading through them and found complaints, for example, about U.S. Attorney Carol Lamb failing to prosecute smugglers of immigrants, who I think we all agree ought to be prosecuted. But since Carol Lamb was also the prosecutor who put Republican Congressman Duke Cunningham behind bars for taking bribes, the implication is that she was fired for making Republicans look bad. And on it goes for the other attorneys as well. News releases, memos, more than enough evidence for both sides. The president's last word on this was that he merely called Attorney General Gonzalez with concerns about certain U.S. attorneys.
But I never brought up a specific case, nor gave him specific instructions.
So it's all the fault of somebody else. So the Democrats are going to put a lot of those somebody else's under oath and ask the most embarrassing questions they can. My advice would be to tell the truth, no matter how embarrassing. Because there's nothing illegal about firing U.S. attorneys, just as there was apparently nothing illegal about outing the name of CIA agent Valerie Plame. But as the man they call Scooter discovered, even if no one broke the law, lying about the way in which no one broke the law can send you to jail.
Now you can dial a diamond and save half by calling Empire Diamond at 1-800-SAVE-HALF. Over 70 years in the Empire State Building, they'll sell diamonds wholesale without a middleman's markup. That's right, GIA-graded diamonds at half the price of famous high-end jewelers. Qualified buyers may have diamonds sent to their home or office for a free 10-day no-obligation inspection and get a 60-day money-back guarantee. So save half on your diamonds. Visit at dialadiamond.com or call 1-800-SAVE-HALF. That's 1-800-SAVE-HALF.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Doesn't it seem that the service is lacking at most service stations? Well, not at the Karma Shell at Rio Road and the Valero at Mid-Karma Valley Shopping Center. We take care of our customers. Karma Shell is happy to pump your gas and check under your hood at your request for no extra charge. At Mid-Carmel Valley Valero, we offer expert car repair at reasonable rates with a fast turnaround. We do tune-ups, brakes, safety checks, and a 26-point inspection with an oil change. We specialize in Lexus and Toyota. Our mechanic is ASE certified. Call us at 624-0722. That's 624-0722. Carmel Shell at Rio Road and Mid-Carmel Valley Valero, putting the service back in service stations.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered.
Really?
Except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
Heck of a job, Alberto. Heck of a job. I think we'll keep you another week, maybe.
Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show. Jason Leopold joins us in a second. And Robert Palmer is no longer with us, so he won't mind if I just fast forward to the payoff here. Oh, come on. Let's get to the chorus here, Bob. There we go. Oh, thank you, Bob. We'll dedicate that to the Attorney General as long as it lasts. And Jason Leopold from TruthOut.org, the investigative reporter, who's also the author of the memoir News Junkie, returns to our program as usual today. Hello, Jason.
Hey, Peter. Good to be back.
Now, I saw a document dump, and I thought, wow, Leopold is in pig heaven.
Oh, you have no idea. Like I said, this is... You'll have to forgive that call waiting. I don't know why that happened.
That's Alberto Gonzalez. He's calling you for some advice. What do you hear? Do I still have a job?
Yeah.
Who's on the short list to replace me, huh? Have they called Judge...
And if anyone would know, you know, of course that would be me.
Have they called Judge Judy yet? God, anybody but Judge Judy.
Well, you know, this was like a gift. 3,000 pages of documents, which I have to say, many of them redacted, but nonetheless, lots of good info in here. Clearly, I've spent most of past 24 hours sifting through this, I am not exaggerating.
Mm-hmm.
It really gives a lot of insight into how the Justice Department under Alberto Gonzalez was pretty much like the White House Counsel Office, as opposed to a separate branch that's supposed to pursue justice. This really has there's just amazing insight into how deeply involved the White House has been in this attorney purge, if you will.
And it's fair to say that if you go through the history books, the cronyism in a presidential administration has always been strongest with the attorney general. After all, this is the guy or gal who can investigate and indict the president. So, Nixon put John Mitchell in there. Mitchell ended up indicted, going down, taking one for Nixon himself. We then had Reagan's people, William French Smith, and then Ed Meese, heavy cronies who could be relied upon to cover up the misdeeds of the administration.
Yeah.
And Clinton was actually a little different in that Janet Reno, of course, it was his third choice, second or third choice. He had a couple of rejects in the confirmation process. And this was somebody clearly who was not his buddy, not doing his bidding. And there was tension often. It surfaced most clearly around Waco and Elian Gonzalez.
Right. Right.
But Bill Clinton could not tell Janet Reno exactly what to do and expect her to do it.
Right, exactly. And I think that is what that's a major difference here. Also, if I'm not mistaken, this was, with Clinton, this was, when he was took over the presidency, that's when, most of this happened. This is different in that it's in the middle of the term. Mm-hmm. They were using job performance as a rationalization or justification And it's all over the place here. It's all over these emails.
Yeah. Now, I want to dive into the emails in a minute, but first of all, the breaking story today is that Fred Fielding, who replaced Harriet Myers, who replaced Alberto Gonzalez as the White House counsel, Fielding is an old hand from Bush 1.
Right.
And he has informed the Congress that they will be able to interview Harriet Myers and Karl Rove and a couple of other lesser White House officials.
Yeah.
But such interviews would be private and conducted without the need for an oath, transcript, subsequent testimony, or the subsequent issuance of subpoenas.
Right.
So he's trying to serve them up a little. This is a limited hangout route, to borrow a Nixon phrase. And there's been, you know, they've made a lot of documents available, many of which are pretty damning, if not outright incriminating.
Yeah.
But they're drawing the line here around executive privilege and saying, gosh, if we let Karl Rove testify under oath, how will a future president be able to get unvarnished advice and then lie to the American public?
Exactly. And you know what? I'm glad you said that, because that's exactly what it comes down to. I mean, this is just sort of, hey, here's part of the carrot. We're not going to give you the full carrot, because if we do, then we're going to have to possibly admit that, there was a lot of lying going on here. And I think that that's what clearly a lot of a number of Democrats, Patrick Leahy, John Conyers, when Patrick Leahy says, I'm sick of getting half-truths, that's exactly what he's referring to,
mm-hmm.
is that getting half-truths behind closed doors where there's no no penalty, if you will, and it certainly doesn't go as far as what the as what Senate and Congress really want this to go to. Look, Karl Rove, it's been demonstrated over the past 4 years, the CIA leak case being a perfect example of this administration publicly saying that their memories are hazy, they don't recall whether Karl Rove was involved, he wasn't involved, then we find out he was involved. I mean, the credibility is just lost. So to think that Karl Rove would go behind closed doors and spill the beans is ridiculous. But not only that, he doesn't have to answer every question. This is certainly not sworn testimony,
mm-hmm.
and it would it's just a meeting. That's all it would be, a meeting.
Well, and this, of course, we have to look at the recent history, because the White House opposed the formation of the 9/11 Commission to begin with, and then refused to let Condoleezza Rice testify under oath and in public. They ultimately relented on that, but then they held fast to their demands that Bush and Cheney they would visit with the chairman. It was a visit, a meeting, as you would put
right.
it. No oath, no transcript, no follow-up. Not all the commissioners were present. And I think enough of us remember that, particularly key members of the Senate Judiciary Committee,
right.
that they will not be duped again. And I take Leahy at his word that he's not going to let games be played here. He wants the information, he wants it under oath, and he wants an end to the half-truths and the actual lies.
Yeah, and I think that that's where this is going to get interesting, because what we're going to have is certainly a showdown between Congress, Senate, and the most likely the Senate and the executive branch. And what's interesting is how far will it go? Dare I even say this, but it could very well go as far as holding Karl Rove, Harriet Myers, in contempt.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're lucky enough to get a prosecutor that could indict them for such a for such an act, well, wouldn't that be sort of ironic?
All right, but where are we going to find somebody? No U.S.
exactly.
attorney could participate, because
yeah.
they've got a vested interest.
Yeah.
Gonzalez clearly has to recuse himself.
Yeah.
We're cleaning house at the second level of the Justice Department. By the end of the week, there'll be nobody left.
Yeah.
I mean, we will have to go to Judge Judy, or maybe import somebody from Germany.
Yeah, well, it certainly does appear that it's, the list of people that could do this would dwindle, unless, of course, Patrick Fitzgerald would be up for it once again, although I'm sure you saw the Washington Post story where he's he was ranked during this whole scandal, if you will, as a poor performer.
Yeah.
You know? But, you know, just watching Bush's press conference today was the president was not only belligerent, but, I mean, he just was coming out and saying that I don't care if Gonzalez does not have the support of Republicans even, because he has my support, and that's all that matters.
I'm the decider.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And but, the, you know, again, going back to the emails, originally this just appeared. You know, the question was, is why is this even a big story when we didn't, you know, we didn't really have the full breadth of what was happening here. But just poring over these documents, you just find that, you know, they really were going out of their way to, you know, fill positions of, you know, of with friends, Karl Rove's friend, former aide, and that, you know, the cronyism was just so thick. And Gonzalez, who apparently doesn't use email, you know, was just keeping the White House in the loop on everything.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, according to, you know, former U.S. attorneys, they say that is just, they're supposed to be, obviously, you know, a separation, a distance, if you will. And, you know, Gonzalez is no longer Bush's counsel, personal counsel, White House counsel.
Right.
And, you know, what this demonstrates.
But we're not sure when that actually took effect.
We're not even sure if it is in effect.
It was sometime after his confirmation as Attorney General. We just don't know exactly when he accepted the shift.
Yeah.
Now, Jason, I'm looking at one of my favorite websites, truthout.org,
mm-hmm.
and the news item posted here related to this offer from Fred Fielding also refers to the phone call this morning. And Bush called Gonzalez at about 7:15 Washington time to buck him up and let him know that he still has Bush's support.
Right.
Now, this did surprise me a little because just yesterday, at the end of the day, they were starting to float names of possible replacements, Chertoff and Ted Olson and a few other people. So what do you make of that? Is this a diversion tactic to buy a little time?
No,
is Bush really dug in and going to fight this thing?
I think that Bush is absolutely going to fight this and go to bat for Gonzalez. He's going to take this the distance. And I think that part of it has to do with, you know, with this loyalty. And in addition to that, just the desire, if you will, to win and not, you know, to once again be defeated
mm-hmm.
by, you know, the debacle that basically took place as a result of some poor decision-making on the part of Alberto Gonzalez. I did not believe that, you know, that he had any intention of accepting resignation. I don't think Gonzalez was, you know, had any intention to resign.
But let's go back just a year and a half.
Yeah.
To the Republican revolt, the first time that they challenged the Bush White House was when he tried to appoint Harriet Myers
right.
to the opening on the Supreme Court.
Right.
And they openly revolted and they said, no, W, no.
Yeah.
And now we have the head of the Knuckle Dragger Caucus, Tom Tancredo of Colorado, who has called for Gonzalez's resignation.
Right.
Now, how long can Bush ignore the members of his own party saying, you're really screwing up, W?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think that today he made it clear that, and I'm not just, you know, putting words in his mouth, that he doesn't care because Gonzalez has his support. And the president's support is all that matters. And
mm-hmm.
that's what Bush said. It doesn't matter, you know, whether there's a bipartisan call for his resignation. In fact, the president, you know, just to sort of, you know, look a little deeper into, you know, what the way that he presented this, the way that he held this news conference, this was done, you know, purposely to go out there to make sure that everyone knew that the calls for Gonzalez's resignation should stop because he has no intention of resigning and Bush has no intention of firing him. So any of the calls from Republicans to, for Gonzalez to step down, you know, put a lid on it is basically what Bush was saying. But even more than that, Bush does not even believe that this is an issue or a big deal or should have risen to the level that it's at this point.
Well, maybe they can call Scott McClellan and he can put together one of those videotapes that they use to explain to the president the reality thing out there in the country. Jason, we got to take a break. You got 3 minutes. I'd like you to pick your five favorites of that stack of 3,000 pages of emails, and you can walk us through them right after the break.
Sounds good.
Jason Leopold from truthout.org with us. By the way, TO has a fundraiser underway. If you can help out, they do a lot of great work, and I would be very delighted if you could send a check or a PayPal contribution to truthout.org. Just log on to the website for more information. We'll continue right after this incredibly exciting commercial break on the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540, progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
The days of wine and roses.
The fastest growing disease in America is addiction. It's time we talk about it openly. This is Sheila Gale. Join me Saturday afternoons from 4 to 5 for 12-Step Talk Uncensored, where we deal with addiction. It's about time.
That wasn't there before.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Hey, I'm hungry. What'd you have for breakfast?
Oh, I'm on a diet. I skipped breakfast.
Really? What are you having for lunch?
Dude, I'm on a diet. No lunch.
Hi, I'm Jacqueline Fontaine, Miss California. You know, skipping meals never makes you look or feel better. Your body needs well-balanced meals. So, check out the school lunch. It's easy and it's healthy. Try it.
This message from the California School Nutrition Association. Visit StayFitEatRight.org.
Got a very pleasant good afternoon to you. Let's take a look at the very latest. And tell you that we do have a problem working right now. This will be in Salinas, northbound 101 at Russell. An injury crash. It's a pickup truck that is on its side. Apparently, it's on the right shoulder. We do have a tow truck on scene. Other than that, let's take a look at Highway 17. It looks like northbound and southbound 17 looking pretty good. Really nothing to get too concerned about there. Another Santa Cruz problem, Highway 1 southbound at Morrissey Boulevard. Got some folks on the roadway, a bicyclist is apparently riding in the lanes dangerously, and you folks are advised to drive with caution at this point. This report brought to you by Hotels.com. Get spring break savings up to 20% with rates just starting at $39. When you book by April 2nd, call 800-3-HOTELS or see site offer for details. Hotels.com. We know hotels inside and out. That's traffic on KXA.
Well, wait a minute. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Peter B. Collins, and I'm the guy in control of the controls here, and this was supposed to start at the beginning, like that. It is the Peter B. Collins Show, 9 minutes away from the hour. Yesterday at this time, we were talking with Sabelle Edmonds, the whistleblower, who wants to tell everything she knows that she learned while working at the FBI as a translator after 9/11. And Henry Waxman promised that he would hold a hearing and subpoena her to testify in public. And I would like to encourage you to pick up the phone and make one more call to Henry Waxman's Los Angeles office and let him know you'd like to hear the truth and the testimony of Sabelle Edmonds. The number is 323-651-1040. 323-651-1040. And we called on the air yesterday. A nice young man answered. So be polite like he was and let him know that you'd like Congressman Waxman to make that call and invite Sybil Edmonds to tell what she knows for all of us to hear. We continue now with Jason Leopold from truthout.org, and Jason has gotten a hold of some of these 3,000 pages of emails. And Jason, as you read through this, if the White House is going to assert executive privilege and not permit Rove and Myers and others to testify under oath, why the hell did they give up these documents without a fight?
Yeah, I think, well, that's a great question. I think one of the things that, this White House is not used to is actually turning over anything.
Yeah.
I think that it originally, when they had turned over some of the documents, it's not clear to me that they fully understood what they were actually turning over.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and the reason I say that is because the documents that they turned over about a week ago certainly shed additional light on the role or the involvement of Karl Rove, which absolutely contradicted the statements that Rove said on the same day, a day later even. And again, what's just to sort of take a step back and to just give a little bit more clarity to my point here. Part of the problem that we have had for a number of years now with regard to not just Democrats, but since some of the legislation that has been passed, which has been troubling, is obviously supported by Republicans. When this language was slipped into the Patriot Act last year, giving the president the authority to name attorney general without Senate confirmation.
U.S. attorney, not attorney general.
Yes, I'm sorry. U.S. attorneys without Senate confirmation. This was language that was slipped into the Patriot Act, and not only was it not caught by anyone on the Democratic side, it wasn't even read. And oftentimes what people, what the public needs to realize is that they have so many different people who work for them whose job it is to actually read these laws,
right,
and spot these things. And it isn't until, you'll see a story in the newspaper, for example, where suddenly President Bush has the authority to go to your mailbox and open your mail.
Mm-hmm.
And this was, one of those instances where language was slipped in and nobody bothered to read the final draft.
Yeah. So before we run out of time, give us some verbatims from these juicy emails.
Again, some of this has been reported, but what I find incredible right now to me is the threats that had come down from Mike Elston from the Deputy Attorney General's office. And this is an email from Bud Cummins to the Carol Lam, most of the attorney generals that have been fired. And he said he had a call with Mike Elson in the attorney general's office, and they got into a heated discussion, and there were threats that were being made that if any of the attorney generals decided to go public, there would be hell to pay, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And the essence of his message was that the Department of Justice feels like they are taking unnecessary flack to avoid trashing each of us specifically or further. But if they feel like any of us intend to continue to offer quotes to the press or organize behind-the-scenes congressional pressure, then they would feel forced to somehow pull their gloves off and offer public criticisms to defend their actions more fully.
That appears to be a violation of 18 U.S.C. at 1512B, witness tampering.
Wow. Impressive. Thank you. And I have
crib notes in front of me. Don't worry.
You saved me a lot of time. I can't offer any specific quotes, but that clearly was the message. I was tempted to challenge him and say something movie-like, such as, "Are you threatening me?" But instead, I kind of shrugged it off and said I didn't sense that anyone was intending to perpetuate this. He mentioned my quote on Sunday, and I didn't apologize for it. Told him it was true and that everyone involved should agree with the truth of my statement, and pointed out to him that I stopped short of calling them liars and merely said that if they were doing as alleged, they should retract. I also made it a point to tell him that all of us, meaning all of the terminated U.S. attorneys, have turned down multiple invitations to testify. He reacted quite a bit to the idea of anyone voluntarily testifying, and it seemed clear that they would see that as a major escalation of the conflict, mirrored in some kind of unspecified form of retaliation. Now, that's one which really shows you what's going on behind the scenes. And then, of course, the other is, which has been reported, but from Paul McNulty, who is the Deputy Attorney General, talking about how he has no idea about Daniel Bogdan in Las Vegas, who's being terminated. And he says here, I'm a little skittish about Bogdan. I'll admit I have not looked at his performance.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, basically what you have is policy taking precedent, and any statements of performance are just used as a rationale or justification.
Yeah. Jason, I'm out of time. Thanks for joining us today. Jason
Thanks,
Leopold
Peter.
From truthout.org.
Take care.
Thank you. Coming up next, Melanie Sloan from Crew. We'll talk.
Come on in and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones. Everything's a taste you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a good affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus too. A side of couscous and a baba ghanoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery. MPG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney.
It's not too late for Democrats to drop the partisanship and work together.
President Bush late today saying he'll cooperate to a point with the investigation into the firings of 8 U.S. attorneys.
In the last 24 hours, the Justice Department has provided the Congress more than 3,000 pages of internal Justice Department documents, including those reflecting direct communications with White House staff.
Mr. Bush said the White House documents would also be provided, and key officials would agree to be interviewed privately but would not testify at what he calls show trials.
I'm Bob Fuss on Capitol Hill. The top Democrat on the Senate Judiciary Committee says no. Talking to Karl Rove and others behind closed doors without even a transcript is not acceptable. Senator Patrick Leahy wants them in public and under oath. The House Judiciary Committee is expected to authorize subpoenas tomorrow and the Senate on Thursday. This is not the first time a president has tried to stop Congress from questioning his aides. But until now, President Bush always had a Republican Congress and never had to face this kind of confrontation.
If subpoenas are issued, the president's expected to invoke executive privilege, the principle that has protected presidential advisors in the past from being hauled before Congress to testify. 12-year-old Mike Aubery is no longer the missing Boy Scout. He was found this morning less than a mile from the campsite where he was last seen on Saturday. He's okay. CBS News correspondent Jim Krasula reports his father is very relieved.
Ken Aubery told reporters his 12-year-old son Michael is exhausted, dehydrated, scratched up, and worried about missed schoolwork.
What he tells us is he was on the move. He was walking. He says he slept on tree branches. I'm not sure exactly what that means yet. He said he curled up under rocks.
Aubery says his son wandered away from his Boy Scout campsite Saturday afternoon because he was homesick and planned on hitching a ride home. Jim Krasula, CBS News, North Wilkesboro, North Carolina.
The depravity of car bombings in Baghdad hit a new low last weekend. Major General Michael Barbaro told reporters at the Pentagon how insurgents used innocent children to achieve their aims.
We saw a vehicle with two children in the back seat come up to one of our checkpoints, get stopped by our folks, children in the back seat, lower suspicion. We let it move through. They parked the vehicle, the adults run out and detonated with the children in the back.
Another new tactic, says Barbaro, is the use of chlorine bombs. Tanker trucks loaded with chlorine are detonated in crowded areas. Vice President Dick Cheney, who developed a blood clot in his leg earlier this month, went back to see his doctors today. A spokeswoman says an ultrasound revealed no extension or complication of the clot. He'll continue taking blood thinners to dissolve it. Today on Wall Street, the Dow Industrial 61 points higher, closing at 12,288. The Nasdaq gained nearly 14 points to finish at 2408. And the price of oil edged up a bit to $56.73 a barrel. This is CBS News.
The following is a paid commercial message.
It's estimated that over 200 million people in the U.S. suffer from herpes-caused cold sores. There are many products on the market today. Relieve One-Day Cold Sores Symptom Treatment is excellent because it relieves cold sore symptoms in just a day. Pain eases in minutes, and other symptoms resolve in just 24 hours. Relieve is non-toxic, comprised of botanical extracts, and is 100% guaranteed. Millions of sufferers have found that Relieve works best for them. Only you can determine that Relieve is best for you. You can now buy Relieve at most major stores.
Paula Sela is a real Geico customer, not an actor. So to help tell her story, we hired that announcer guy from the movies.
When the storm hit, both our cars were totally underwater.
In a world where both of our cars were totally underwater,
we thought it would take forever to get some help.
But a new wind was about to blow.
With Geico, we had our check in 2 days.
Payback. This time, it's for real.
Geico. Real service, real savings.
Consumer Reports gives itself a bad rating for its bungled review of child car seats. CBS News correspondent John Harchie has an update.
Within days of condemning certain infant safety seats as not safe enough in high-speed crashes, Consumer Reports had to withdraw that criticism. The government disputed the test, and now independent consultants hired by the magazine confirm a major flub.
There was a significant miscommunication with the outside lab that we hired, and they ran the test at a much higher speed than they should have.
A spokesman for the publisher, Chris Meyer, says along with better internal reviews, the magazine in the future will consult with more outside experts when devising stringent new tests on product safety. John Harchie, CBS News, Washington.
It was supposed to be a hands-on exhibit. A museum in Takayama, Japan displayed a 220-pound block of gold out in the open to visitors so they could touch it. That proved to be too much temptation for three men who walked in during regular hours, picked up the block, and carried it to a waiting car. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
The following is an OnStar conversation.
OnStar Center, this is Laura. How may I help you?
Hey, Laura. My name is Nathan.
How are you today?
Pretty good. First of all, I just want to say I thank y'all. I just got my truck. My truck was stolen this morning. Y'all located it for me.
I'm glad, sir.
And I'm already back in my truck.
It's a good feeling to be back in your Silverado, isn't it, sir?
Oh, yeah.
If your vehicle is stolen, OnStar can work with authorities to help them locate it.
Is everything okay then?
Yeah, my truck's fine. I'm still under my first year service, if I would like to start my service permanently.
Well, that's a good idea then, isn't it? I'd be more than happy to do that for you today.
Only GM offers so many vehicles with the peace of mind of OnStar.
I'm glad everything worked out for you today, sir.
All right, hey, thank y'all.
The first year of OnStar service is included on new OnStar-equipped GM vehicles and covers unlimited use of all safety and security services. To experience OnStar, press your blue button or visit OnStar.com. OnStar by GM.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
As we launch into the 5 o'clock hour here, the free speech zone is yours for the taking. Call us at 888-5-PETER-B. You know the rules. Any subject, any viewpoint, from anywhere within the sound of my voice.
I take a look at my life and realize it's not enough. Cause I've been blasting and laughing so long that even my mama thinks that my mind is gone. But I ain't never crossed a man that didn't deserve it. Me be treated like...
Every week we get an update on the battle against corruption in Washington. And joining us next is Melanie Sloan from Crew. Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. And with the latest flap over Alberto Gonzalez and the U.S. attorneys, it does appear that the Bush administration's running a gangster's paradise. And thank you so much, Coolio. Melanie, thanks for joining us today. How are you?
Good, Peter. How are you?
Doing okay. Things are going all right out here. But we're watching with great fascination the episodes that are unraveling before your eyes in Washington, D.C. Before we get to the Gonzalez story, just wanted to get your follow-up remarks about Valerie Plame Wilson's testimony before Henry Waxman's his committee on government oversight and reform on Friday. First time I have heard her speak, like many Americans, and I was greatly impressed.
She really is a very impressive person and a true patriot, which I don't think has come across over time because she has been so quiet about what happened to her. But, of course, that's in large part because she was a CIA operative, and you're not supposed to talk if you're a CIA operative about what you've been doing, what you were doing for the agency. But Henry Waxman, the head of the Government Reform Committee, invited her to come and testify about the leak of her identity, what that meant to her, and, in fact, what that meant for the country.
Yeah.
And Valerie did exactly that, and I thought she was very eloquent and very impassioned when she talked about the danger that outing not just her but any CIA operative, the danger that poses to them personally and to the intelligence for our country.
Well, and finally, the talking point was put to rest that had been, you know, intended to raise doubt about her status, about whether she actually was a covert operative. And despite that, Victoria Tensing was up there later in the day pushing out that same old crap.
Right. Well, she's just crazy, clearly. And I think there was really no doubt at all. Not only did Valerie put that to rest by testifying that she was, in fact, a covert operative, but Henry Waxman said that the director of the CIA had cleared his testimony, stating that Valerie was, in fact, a covert CIA operative who worked on weapons of mass destruction issues, particularly at the time she was exposed. She was looking for weapons of mass destruction in Iraq.
Mm-hmm. The one thing that gave me a little pause, I was working my way through a bowl of crunchy Raisin Bran, because it's earlier out here when she was testifying, and the Republican congressman first asked her about Joe Wilson's political party affiliation, and then about hers. And it really smacked of McCarthyism, I thought. Did you go over that in the pre-testimony rehearsals, and was she prepared for that question, or did it come by surprise?
No, she wasn't prepared for that question anyway, and frankly, I just would never have thought to warn her that such a question might come about. It seemed so completely irrelevant to everything that Valerie has done for her country and everything she's doing. Who cares about her political party? And that's what she really talked about, how she had just wanted to serve her country, and that's why she was a CIA operative for all those years, working undercover, a great danger to herself and the danger to her family. And the thing I think that was most moving that she testified to was, you know, all CIA operatives are aware that their covers could be blown at some time by enemies of our country, but you never think that it could possibly be your own government who would do that to you.
Yeah. Well, again, I was very impressed. I'm glad that she got to talk about those things to the limited extent that she could testify, and I think it's an important step forward to removing the phony haze that's been created by the Republicans about this whole episode.
Well, it just goes to show you that really they'll just say anything, that they would undercut Valerie's loyalty to our country and her patriotism and all of the work that she has done, knowing, in fact, that she is not at liberty to respond to those things because of her work with the CIA. She's limited in what she can say. It's just really all the more hateful.
Yeah, it sure is. Now let's move on to the controversy that has really built since January when Pryor and Feinstein of the Senate Judiciary Committee grilled Alberto Gonzalez about the sacking of 8 U.S. attorneys. And at that point, he made statements that clearly don't square with the truth, and we usually call those lies.
We usually do. We at Crew particularly call them lies. This is a story that just keeps getting better by day, really. And the Justice Department can't seem to get its act together or its story straight. My organization, Crew, has now asked that a special prosecutor be appointed, because what now happened is it turns out that both the Attorney General and the Deputy Attorney General, Paul McNulty, got up and lied to Congress.
Yeah.
And they basically they told several different lies to Congress, both that they weren't trying to get around Senate confirmation by firing U.S. attorneys and replacing them, that these people weren't fired for political reasons, and that the White House had no involvement in these firings. None of that turns out to be true. And Kyle Sampson, the former chief of staff for Attorney General Gonzalez, has now admitted that all of that wasn't true, and he knew that wasn't true when he was telling the Attorney General and Paul McNulty when he was helping them prepare for their testimony.
Now, Melanie, this question just came up 20 minutes ago. I fully support your call for an independent counsel or a special prosecutor. Where do we find somebody who doesn't have a conflict here? No U.S. attorney could take this position, could he or she?
I think it would be really tough, but obviously nobody in the Department of Justice can take this job. I think that the Justice Department, frankly, has to go outside the Justice Department spectrum and find another prosecutor or former prosecutor out there to go and prosecute this, because lying to Congress is a crime, and, in fact, preparing people to lie to Congress is a crime. And interestingly enough, Kyle Sampson, although he's resigned as the chief of staff to Alberto Gonzalez, is still working in the Department of Justice. So I guess resign, has a different meaning over in the Department of Justice these days.
Well, I mean, are we going to have to, call in Greta Van Susteren or somebody else to try this?
There are a lot of former prosecutors who could take this on, and I still think that that's not at all something unlikely, given that it's becoming evident every day that there were deliberate lies told to Congress, and the Democrats are not going to take this sitting down. They want Karl Rove to come and testify under oath,
right.
And Mr. Rove and Harriet Myers are the former counsel to the White House counsel are at this point. President Bush has said he's not going to have them come and testify. So they've really set up a showdown with the Senate, where the Senate is planning to issue subpoenas, and the White House is saying it will not comply with those subpoenas. So it's going to be a very interesting couple weeks on that issue.
And don't you really feel sorry for Karl Rove? I mean, he just finished one scrape with death.
Yeah, he's really not a man I spend a moment with any sympathy for.
Now, I believe that the way I characterize this about the lies that Gonzalez and McNulty told to the Judiciary Committee in January, to me, that is the offense where they're most clearly culpable. But the media, the way they cover this, I think they obscure that issue and try to confuse people and make it seem to be purely political. I don't view this as political. Certainly U.S. attorneys serve at the pleasure of the president. We know about that. But the way that this was conducted and then the lies that were told very clearly disqualify Alberto Gonzalez for further service to as attorney general.
I think that's quite clearly true, and I think you're going to hear more and more calls for his resignation. Already, you've been hearing the Democratic calls, but you're not hearing, interestingly enough, very many Republican senators, if any, in his defense, speaking up for him. And I think that there have been a number of members of the Senate who've been telling the president that you're time to cut your losses, you're going to have to let Gonzalez go. Gonzalez is a longtime friend of the president. The president doesn't want to let him go. He held a news conference tonight saying he would fight the subpoenas, and Gonzalez had his support, but, that's today.
Yeah. I mean, we can ask Rumsfeld and a few others.
That's right.
About those stout, I'm the decider kind of comments. Now, tell us about Duncan Hunter's Leadership Political Action Committee and why you have filed a complaint about it.
Okay, this is a little bit complicated, so bear with me a second. But we filed a complaint with the Federal Election Commission against Duncan Hunter, because Duncan Hunter's PAC was running ads, campaign ads, basically, back in December of 2006. These were ads that basically were thinly veiled campaign ads in early primary states promoting his support for constructing a fence along the U.S.-Mexico border. And although federal election law allows candidates to, quote, test the waters, which means they're allowed to spend some money for travel and polling before they declare themselves to be candidates for president, they can't spend more than $5,000 on political ads. And when he was running political ads in states like New Hampshire, South Dakota, South Carolina, North Carolina, all early primary states, he was violating the law. So we filed an FEC complaint saying, hey, he's violating the law, can't do this, and we expect the FEC, which takes these kind of matters pretty seriously, will come down pretty hard on Duncan Hunter for this.
Mm-hmm. Well, and somebody ought to just tell him.
Can't win.
He doesn't have a prayer. He ought to just roll it up and stop breaking the law because it's not going to help him.
Well, apparently tonight he did announce that he's retiring from Congress so his son can run for his seat.
Oh, how nice.
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
That's news to me. Thanks for breaking it. Yeah, Melanie, yeah. Thanks for your work. Don't stop.
Okay, my pleasure. Talk
All
to you
right.
next week.
Talk to you next week. Melanie Sloan from CRU. Their website, citizensforethics.org. And CRU stands for Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. Next, we go to your phone calls, and the switchboard's wide open here in the Free Speech Zone. So grab a line. You want to talk about Gonzalez? You want to talk about Congressman Farr and his vote for the Pelosi plan regarding the $100 billion-plus supplemental for Iraq? We also talked with Ray Kimball about the sorry treatment of women in the military, the incidents of rape, and post-traumatic stress disorder. You can talk about that or a subject of your own devising. Call me now, toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. Lines available, 888-573-8372. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the news, KRXA 540. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares. The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Very pleasant evening to you. Let's take a look at the latest, and we are going to start off with a problem in Carmel Valley. Looks like this one is located, it's a crash, by the way. It's a Carmel Valley Road at Cuyahoga. It's a solo vehicle that overturned. No further details, but CHP is en route there, and excuse the pronunciation. Let's take a look at Salinas, northbound 101 at Russell. Injury crash. A pickup truck is on its side. It's on the right shoulder. A tow truck is on scene there, along with CHP. And a quick reminder that northbound 1 out of Santa Cruz, the ramp, the on and off ramp to Emmeline, is shut down 24 hours a day. Road work scheduled through the 31st of December. A support brought to you by Hotels.com. Get spring break savings up to 20% off with rates starting up to just $39 when you book by April 2nd. Call 800-3-HOTELS or see website for offered.
Lines available, 888-5-PETER-B. It's the fourth anniversary of that War on Terror thing.
There's this great Popeye cartoon where he gets inside a Bluto's shirt and he's popping out of his sleeves going, here I am, over here, you. And Bluto is confused. He's going,
hey, where'd you, why you,
And he's trying to beat up Popeye. And he ends up pummeling himself. And that is the War on Terror. That is the War on Terror. It's the War on Terror. There's this old joke where a guy is walking home late at night. He sees another guy under a streetlight, searching frantically in the gutter. Says, hey man, what did you lose? The guy says, I dropped my keys about 6 blocks away. Why aren't you looking over there? The guy says, the light's better over here. And that is the War on Terror. That is the War on Terror. Yeah, that's the War on Terror. Is the War on Terror. We got a
billion squandered. 3,200 plus Americans dead, over 500,000 Iraqis, even if you use conservative studies. And this president continues relatively undeterred. We led off the show today with a conversation with Congressman Sam Farr, progressive Democrat from the Monterey area, member of the Out of Iraq Caucus, who is regrettably, and I think regretfully, voting for the Pelosi compromise package. And I know Nancy Pelosi well enough to know that she is compromising as well. We've got a lot of work to do, friends. And this nation is still in some sort of slumber about the war and about the lies of the Bush administration. We've got to wake them up. And it isn't easy, but we've got to keep trying and doing everything we can. 888-5, Peter B. is my number, and lines are available. I'd like to hear from you today on issues that you care about. Judith joins us from Santa Cruz. Hi, Judith.
Hi, Peter.
How are you?
Can you hear me?
I can, loud and clear.
Hi. Thank you for talking about this. It's so topical. The whole world waiting for... I thought that was great, the sociologist that you had on who said that she thinks the answer lies in the anti-war movement. That was really encouraging to hear.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people should know that it lies within each and every one of us. Like Tom Hartman always says, you know, hey, activism begins with you or whatever. But
it's true.
The real reason I'm calling is because I was able to go to the peace rally or anti-war rally we had here Saturday in Santa Cruz. And there was at least 300 people there before noon. And it was foggy and overcast, and there was construction going on. It was at the courthouse steps. Sam Farr was there. He spoke before noon and left, and he had another engagement somewhere that evening. And so we had some other elected officials, such as the mayor of Santa Cruz and John Laird.
Mm-hmm.
And my friend's in a wheelchair. We get home later on that night, and I said, well, let's see what they covered. They didn't cover it on the 530 KSBW News, which is the local channel that usually covers these things.
Right.
That was very suspicious.
Well, but they would have had to send
Obama.
They would have had to send a crew all the way from Monterey to Santa Cruz. I mean, that's 30 miles.
No, they come here all the time. And then I thought, well, 11 o'clock. And sure enough, they didn't. And I think that's very suspicious, very, very suspicious. We have a congressman that comes to our town and speaks, and yet Barack Obama, which is, you know, spoken Berkeley or Oakland.
Oakland, right.
There's a lot of coverage.
Mm-hmm.
And,
but see, here's the thing.
No word of what happened here on Saturday, and it really annoyed
me. I'm not trying to be silly about this, but these television stations are so cheap now, and particularly on the weekends, they only have one or two crews available. And they got the footage on Barack Obama from the NBC station in San Francisco.
Of course.
And it came over the satellite, and they didn't have to do anything to capture that. They just had a writer say, hey, Barack Obama was in Oakland, and then they played the tape. But it really speaks to a number of things. First of all, unless there are arrests and some sort of vandalism or other law-breaking, the media ignores most peaceful protests. Secondly, we do have a corporate media that has very selectively cut back. They're devoting extra resources to the Phil Spector trial in Los Angeles now, and they can't be bothered to bring us the real important stories that are out there. And so their priorities are built around their own, you know, financial interest, which is to promote deal, no deal, or the latest, you know, awful reality television show. And they are comfortable in their profits, they're comfortable in their market research, and they don't give a damn about the future of our country. If anything, NBC, which is who I'm picking on right now, has a vested interest in prolonging the war.
Really?
Yeah, they have, you know, one division of NBC makes jet engines. Another one makes parts for nuclear power plants. NBC is deeply involved in the military-industrial complex. Mm-hmm. And to suggest that that never creeps into their coverage would require us to imagine that the Wizard of Oz is living next door.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you.
Well, thank you for calling, and thanks for protesting. I was out there myself on Sunday in San Francisco, and it's disappointing that more of our friends, relatives, and loved ones were not out there with us.
Listen, now that I'm still on, what happened in Washington, D.C. on Sunday? Because I didn't hear anything about
The march in Washington was on Saturday. There were about 20,000 people, and the weather was awful.
Oh, so I guess they covered that a little bit.
There was some coverage on television and in print, but by and large, you're correct that these issues really get sidestepped by the so-called mainstream media.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot for your call today. More calls coming up next in the Free Speech Zone, 888-5. Peter B. is my toll-free number, 888-573-8372.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school. When you can work with an attorney with significant life experience, who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in SoCal Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in a friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive and Porter Street in SoCal.
Yeah. Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life.
Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
Concerned about the steady increase in home mortgage interest rates? Don't panic or overreact. Now is the time to analyze the many available options and to choose the best possible course. Leverage the equity in your home to reduce or eliminate high interest and non-deductible debt. Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage, invites you for a free consultation in his Salinas offices at 201 John Street. To schedule your free Creative Mortgage consultation, call Victor at 757-0436 right now. That's 757-0436.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
We are taking your phone calls in the free speech zone. Brian Urban is at the switchboard, and the number is toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Evis, you out there?
Call Elvis, take me home. Call Elvis, we're all alone. But he'll leave the building, I can't get to the phone. Call Elvis, we're all alone. Well, tell us, call it, just to wish you well. Let me leave my number, I'll break hotel. Oh, lovely tenant, baby, don't be cruel. Return to sender.
In the summer of, was early 70s, 1971 or 72, the Fat Elvis made a trip to the White House, and he was high on drugs, flying as high as he possibly could, and he went into the White House and had this meeting with Richard Nixon, where he picked up his credential as an honorary officer of the Drug Enforcement Agency. I guess Elvis thought he was going to get the really good stuff with that credential. And I don't know why, but that image surfaced as I heard and read the accounts of the oral arguments at the Supreme Court yesterday all around the free speech rights of a young man from Alaska, a high school student who'd gone to a rally for the Olympic torch and unfurled a banner that he thought was clever and a little anarchistic. And it read, "Bong Hits for Jesus." And to this day, I don't know what the kid's intention was, except to make a statement that, you know, I'm not a conformist. And I'm not opposed to Jesus, and I'm not opposed to bong hits. And I'm not opposed to the suggestion that Jesus might enjoy a hit from a bong. But to hear the oral arguments and the discussion between these black robe justices, particularly the real conservatives, is just a hoot. Ruth Bader Ginsburg said, "So if the sign had been bong stinks for Jesus, that would be protected under the Constitution, right? Free speech?" Stephen Breyer, justice, added, "Suppose that this particular person had whispered to his next-door neighbor, 'Bong hits for Jesus, ha ha ha, bong hits for Jesus, ha ha ha.'" That kind of sounds like Beavis and Butthead to me. All right, then John Paul Stevens said, well, what if the sign said bong hits should be legal? Anthony Kennedy got psychedelic. Suppose the banner said vote Republican. David Souter, who inhaled, imagine, he said, that the student just holds a little sign in the Shakespeare class that says bong hits for Jesus, and they say, well, so-and-so has got his bong sign again. Then they go back to Macbeth. Big deal, huh? Antonin Scalia took his turn. What if the sign said, smoke pot, it's fun? Then Kennedy, rape is fun. Scalia, extortion is profitable? I mean, this is really bizarre. These guys make, what, $200,000 a year to sit there and listen to these legal arguments? And I guess they were having a field day. And what is bizarre is that this student's case has created strange bedfellows. The Christian right supports him because he put Jesus in the bong hits for Jesus sign. And they want young Jesus freaks to be able to carry signs, on school grounds or at school events that mention Jesus. They probably weren't too excited about the bong hits part. I find it very amusing. And my bottom line is, I support the free speech rights of this young man. And the principal who took his banner away and suspended him was out of line. And in effect, she made the case what it is today. Nice job, principal. Bong hits for Jesus. Susan in Santa Cruz, thanks for calling. You're on the air here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thank you, Peter B. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay.
It's been a long time since I called you.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you did because, since the Phoenix people departed, a lot of the California people have been hanging back. And yeah. I need more phone calls during the free speech zone. Monterey, I haven't heard from you today. Eureka's been kind of quiet. Coos Bay, silent. You know the number. You know what to do. Use it.
Did Billy not even call today?
He's on the other line.
Okay. And it's amazing how many times we call in around the same time.
He takes care of me.
Okay, good. I wanted to say that I think we're really seeing with Congress and the Democrats a real politics of fear. And it's been going on for a long time. When you're waiting for a reaction or what the other guy is thinking or if I do this, what if, then you're never really coming from your strong ethical core. And that's what's missing. And I don't think that is a difference between the Democrats and the Republicans in that I don't say they're coming from their ethical center at all, but they don't come from fear. They just go ahead with their big aggression. They may in the end come from it from a deeper fear.
It's more loathing on their part. But Susan, I think you've really nailed it here, and I'm not just saying that because you happen to be calling into my show right now. I agree with you. I think as I read this, zoom out and look at the big picture, the Democrats are not operating from a position of strength, either moral or political.
Right.
And they are, part of it is we've got to be honest. And we heard this, and some people in the North Bay didn't like to hear it from their Congressman Mike Thompson when he was on with us last week.
Right.
He said, we don't have the votes. The Democrats are not...
I don't believe in that. I believe, you go out and you get the votes. That's what it's all about.
Well, I understand your point, and I agree up to an extent that yes, leadership is required here, and you do have to stand on principle and operate from strength. And one of the reasons they don't have the votes is that they haven't been doing that.
That's right. Exactly. And I think it's time for that to happen, and it's time for us to hold strong. And yes, like you, I regret what MoveOn did. I think that was... It's just not right.
But it's pretty interesting, Susan. There were 126,000 people voted in the Move On poll.
Yeah, but if you looked at their page they sent you to, it wasn't really clear how to do that or what their point was. They didn't put, they should have just put three paragraphs in there with different points of view and let people really look at it and decide. I thought, I went in there and I clicked and I went, what is this? Where am I? So, I don't know. I'm kind of fed up. But I've gotten there before.
Well, get fed up, get angry, but just don't check out and don't give up.
No, I'm not checking out. And I still, send out a million emails and I get people as involved as I can.
Mm-hmm.
But I really think this has to change. I didn't hear Sam today, but I suspect he was his old self kind of caving into a little fear. And why people aren't saying, I just don't understand this, Kucinich has, a plan. He shows where the money that Bush is asking for is already there. You know, he's got this whole thing, and nobody's pointing to that so that people can actually read it and see it. There would be no shortage to the troops at all because it's already there.
Good point.
But, you know, people aren't really looking, and God bless us all. We really need to get in there. And the other thing I wanted to say, and I really, well, there's two things. First is that we really need to target our young people. We need to get the military, get the kids not to go in, and get the guys in the military to stand down, because I think that's one of the only ways this is going to stop.
That, and we need some Republicans to face the truth and speak it, because as long as they're willing to cave into the White House, the Democrats don't have enough electoral strength to overcome them, particularly in the Senate. Thank you, Susan. I want to jump to Billy Sunshine, who's there for us again today. Hey, Billy.
Hey, buds. Yeah, it's always good to come behind Susan. She's good. If we're all like her, we'd be in great shape.
You're right.
So, you know, I wanted to talk about the speech that Bush gave today, but it's amazing, you know, when you think about the Supreme Court. So let me see if I follow this. So in America today, if you're dying, you can't smoke pot and be sure the feds won't come in your place and arrest you.
Right.
And the school can get you even when you're not in school for wearing a T-shirt they don't like.
Right. Well, it wasn't a T-shirt. It was a banner.
But he wasn't in school, right?
No, he was across the street from the school, and the event was the Olympic torch was going by.
What do you call an authoritarian culture like that?
Demagogues.
Okay. So today, I don't know if did you hear the speech where he talked about the attorneys?
I haven't yet, no.
That's great. He's really, you can tell he's scared. So he's acting tough, but they're scared. And so what he's doing is he's trying to turn it into a thing about the Democrats are making this politics. Because that's what they say now whenever they can't win any argument. It's the politicalization.
Right.
And by doing this, he's also positioning the Republicans, who he doesn't mention, who are also calling for the Attorney General to resign.
Well, and he's using a Tom DeLay tactic here, which is to whatever you are, you say the other side is. And so this is a case where they've been caught politicizing is ordinarily not a heavily politicized process. They've gotten caught lying about it, and they provided the evidence to prove that they lied. And so now all they are reduced to doing is saying, oh, it's political and it's their fault.
It's amazing that this is going to, as you were discussing with Susan, this is going to backfire in the Democrats' face unless they, as we continue to say about these guys, unless they man up and take advantage of this, because a scandal every day, it's obvious to the rest of us how bad they are, and if they can't take advantage of this, although I must say, Waxman is doing a good job.
Mm-hmm.
He really is.
Well, Billy, you have a good point, because the Republicans are unraveling, they are defensive, they are on the run. And this is the time for the Democrats to be unrelenting. And I do think they're going to push hard on these subpoenas for Rove and Myers and other White House people. And there will be a constitutional showdown of sorts. But unless they use that as practice for the ultimate constitutional showdown that we desperately need, which is over the war, it's just another kind of irrelevant story that 6 months from now you'll say, Alberto, who?
Who? Hey, what's the over-under on the pardons that'll be necessary?
Yeah, I don't know. We should set up a line on that. Thank you, Billy.
Thanks, buddy.
All right. We got a lot of calls on the board now, so you hang in there, and we're going to get to you in just a moment here at 888-5-PETER-B. One line is just opening up for you. And before we go to a break, I wanted to remind you that tomorrow, Al Gore, the man who was elected president in 2000, is going to testify at both House and Senate hearings about global warming. And the reason I know this is because I have been alerted by the people who are funded by ExxonMobil and the other resource extracting industries to create doubt, confusion, and skepticism about climate change based on greenhouse gas emissions. And our buddy Tom Seaborn at KGOE in Eureka got the email that I got a couple of days ago, too, from the fine folks who flack for the Competitive Enterprise Institute. And they are already trying to line up their yappers to come on shows like ours, and thank you, I'll just say no thanks, to try to refute what Al Gore says before he even says it. And here's the lineup of great people. Fred Smith, president of the Competitive Enterprise Institute. They get most of their money from ExxonMobil, or they have. Dr. Patrick Michaels from the Cato Institute. John Berlow, the author of Eco Freaks, How Environmentalism is Hazardous to Your Health. He's unbiased, you can tell. And this is the guy who I think really deserves special mention. Myron Ebell, Director of Energy and Global Warming Policy at the Competitive Enterprise Institute. He's got a PhD, and it don't got nothing to do with the climate, the earth, climate change, or science. If you hear him or see him interviewed, turn on your BS detector.
Well, there's a little something that's been freaking me. I read it in the news, I seen it on TV. It haunts me in the night and creeps me in the morning. A spooky little thing called global warming. It seems our indispensable amenities.
And kudos to my colleague Tom Hartman, who had Ross Gelbspan on the air today, to again refute the bullet points that are going to be fired by the right wingers on behalf of polluting industries. Ah, these are interesting times.
The temperatures are rising and it now deduced. The vampires of progress have come on to rule.
More in a moment right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
I drive the freeway in a bulletproof vest. A fiber in my diet and a blood pressure test.
You're listening to KRXA 540.
For a warning, a spooky little thing called global warming. Now, baby, you know what I like.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540.
If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
One Day Income Tax Service, family owned and operated since 1944, specializes in year-round professional tax preparation. Do you want your refund quickly? Stop by One Day Income Tax Service. They offer tax preparation at reasonable rates and work to meet the needs of military families with the capacity to process all out-of-state returns. If you prefer to prepare your own return at home, they can help you expedite your refund by filing your return electronically. Let One Day Income Tax Service assist you with your return and maximize your refund. Stop by 885 Broadway Avenue in Seaside, where no appointment is necessary. Looking for quick, professional, and reasonable tax return preparation? Visit One Day Income Tax Service, 885 Broadway Avenue, Seaside, or call 394-8010. That's 831-394-8010. One Day Income Tax Service, where you walk in with a copy of your most recent tax return, personal ID, and W-2 1099 info for 2006, and you walk out with your completed tax return.
Hi, this is Scott Dick, your host of the Tasty Planet Radio Show. Every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and travel across the U.S. and around the world. I interview authors, chefs, winemakers, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make our world so delicious. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
And a very pleasant good evening to you. Let's take a look at the latest. We're going to cruise on over to Carmel Valley Road at Caja Agua. We have a solo vehicle that overturned there. CHP, fire department, paramedics, all on scene there. Don't have a whole lot of details, but we knew that this crash is ongoing. Santa Clara County, 152 at Fraser Lake Road and fender bender. Now, it is off to the right shoulder. Two vehicles involved in this particular crash. Want to mention CHP on scene. In the Monterey area, or Monterey specifically, Holman Highway, that's 68 at Skyline Force, an injury crash there. A vehicle went off of the roadway and landed on a ditch. Paramedics, fire department, and police all on scene. A support brought to you by Blue Blocker Sunglasses. Get your Blue Blocker Sunglasses at Walgreens. Get full UV protection while you see clearer and sharper. Blue Blocker, America's favorite for over 20 years. Pick your Blue Blocker style at Walgreens today.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, and I remain your humble host, Peter B. We're taking your calls in the free speech zone, talking about the vote on additional funding for the war in Iraq, the Supreme Court deliberations over bong hits for Jesus, and a lot of things in between. 888-5-PETER-B is our number. Steven and Salinas, you're next. Thanks for holding. You're on the air.
Good afternoon.
I still don't understand why the Democrats are afraid to confront Bush with a 30% approval rating. And the Republicans, in general, don't have much of a better rating than that. It just boggles my mind that they won't just go up against them.
Well, a couple of issues there. One is that the Democrats are not as liberal, left, or progressive as you and I would like. There are a lot of conservatives in there who are incumbents who are pretty much hard to challenge, hard to beat. And they're covering their own asses. That's what they watch out for more than you and me or the people dying in Iraq. And so to try to bring all of those people along does force people like Nancy Pelosi, who is, you know, pretty pretty striking in her own comments, to compromise. And it's very difficult, and it's hard to watch. And, Stephen, as I've said repeatedly, the Democrats will have to come to accept that the only way they're going to stop this madness is to cut off the money.
Okay,
and they need to find an artful way to do that, and that's where I felt Murtha had a pretty good idea.
Okay, well, my thought on that was if this bill is approved and Bush vetoes it, which he's promised he'd do, maybe that would give the Democrats the guts to in the House to just cut off the funding.
Well, I would like to see that, Stephen. As I've said, I'd like to see the Democrats dole out the money and say, look, you know, we'll give you $10 billion a month, but you got to come back every month, and it's like a, you know, you're a kid who can't handle his allowance, and we've got to put you on a stricter regimen.
And I've been calling other congressmen, other than Waxman and Conyers, to try and get other congresspeople to pressure Conyers and Waxman to get Sybil Edmonds on.
Mm-hmm.
I really think if there's an investigation into what happened before 9/11, it will not be necessary to impeach Bush. I think it'll be in Paraguay.
That's interesting.
He won't have to impeach him. Dave and Eureka and I think we're pretty much on the same page.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Thanks, Stephen.
Okay.
Nice to talk to you. Now to Joe in Brookings, Oregon. Hi, Joe. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Yeah, I got an idea for a contest for your show, like a raffle or a lottery. Because
mm-hmm.
the Democrats are so gutless and cowardly. So Bush ain't going to have to get any congressional approval to invade Iran. You know, kind of like, you know, how people bet on, you know, who's going to win the NCAA tournament,
mm-hmm.
who's going to win the Final Four. You know, we could have a contest, you know, who gets the guess right for when Bush is going to invade Iran. Because apparently the Democrats are scared by AIPAC or somebody they're scared of. And there's this, you know, no way that you know the Bush wants to attack Iran. I guess that's okay. He don't need anything like congressional approval or to do anything.
Well, once again, we come up against the weakest links in the Democratic Party because Pelosi had language in the bill that she had to pull out to get enough Democrats to support it that explicitly prohibited the president from invading Iran without further approval from the Congress. And I supported that, and I'm very disappointed that it's been pulled out. And again, we have to look at who are the weak links in the Democratic Party. It's conservative, pro-business, DLC Democrats who have comfortable re-election margins, and they vote their selfish interests, not the public interest.
Well, yes, but I mean, the fact of the matter is this war is unpopular. This president is unpopular, so that's fine. They want to do all this stuff about going along with the big business interests and all that. But I mean, it ain't just liberals and left wingers that are sick and tired of this war.
You're right.
So, I mean, to me, there ain't nothing to it. But
well, we need some
it.
Republicans you know, to I'm... take to the streets. You know, get out of their Lexus, put their Gucci loafers on the pavement, and say, "I've had enough." Joe, thanks for your call. Good to have you listening in Brookings today. Doug Ferrari joins us now, one of the founders of the Highwire Radio Choir, a winner of the San Francisco Comedy Competition, and he is operating at DougFerrari.com these days. Hi, Doug.
Hi, Peter.
How you doing?
I'm doing great.
Have you had any bong
on the news for comedians and a terrible time for the American public?
Well, it is. Have you had any bong hits for Jesus lately?
No. I'm clean and sober, but I did see God when I in the 70s when I took LSD, and the first time is awesome, but the 25th time is a little awkward and embarrassing. Like, hi, God. Scott. Sorry to bother you. No questions this time. Just trying to get out.
Uh-huh. Well, Doug, what have you been seeing in the news?
Well, let's talk about Alberto Gonzalez, who I call Torquemada. Mm-hmm. You know who he was.
Yeah.
The head of the Spanish Inquisition.
A great legal mind.
Torture memo. They torture the people in Guantanamo by playing Eminem records at full volume, and if that doesn't violate the Geneva Conventions, I don't know what does. I'd talk. And now Gonzalez and Rove are not going to have to be sworn in to testify. They're just going to have a little chat.
Right. Yeah.
That's because if Karl Rove were to put his hand on the Bible, it would probably explode. If Alberto Gonzalez put his hand on the Bible, he'd probably melt like the Nazis at the end of Raiders of the Lost Ark. So, again, we're going to have one of those off-the-record, you know, little private raps that don't help anything.
Well, it's a little different, though, because, you know, Cheney and Bush were able to offer their comments. They didn't testify to the 9/11 Commission. And you can imagine sitting there holding hands and, you know, looking longingly into one another's eyes. You want to take this one, Dick? No, you go ahead, W.
Well, Cheney got Libby convicted, and Alberto's in big trouble. Why? They kept Cheney's handwritten notes. And with Alberto, it's memos. This is the most corrupt administration, but they don't have enough friggin' brains to buy a shredder. If Ollie North was still there, this stuff would be gone already.
Yeah, you can get them for $25 at the Office Depot.
That's right. All that money that they steal, and they can't afford a shredder. They keep everything. It's worse than Nixon and the tapes.
It is.
And then also you were talking to me earlier today. You said you wanted to talk about some of the add-ons that the Democrats put into the war funding bill.
Right.
I think that we do need more, you know. The Democrats are not just spineless. They're just too stupid to be corrupt. I mean, today a guy actually said to me there's no difference between the Democrats and Republicans, and it doesn't matter whether a Democrat or Republican is president. And I said, don't let them brainwash you that way. That just keeps half the people from voting. There is a difference. Five Republicans just went to jail, and one Democrat got caught with $90,000 in his freezer. Which just means he was thinking small. He was thinking lousy 90 grand, and he couldn't even find a better hiding place than the friggin' freezer.
Doug Ferrari, I got to run. DougFerrari.com is the website. I'm Peter B. Collins. We'll do this again tomorrow, and I hope you'll join me.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, be the path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. There's a showdown shaping up over the firings of eight federal prosecutors. CBS News correspondent Jim Axelrod has today's developments.
President Bush, described by high-ranking Republicans as extremely reticent to fire Alberto Gonzalez, forcefully voiced his support for his embattled attorney general.
Yeah, he's got support with me.
The president then issued a strong warning to Democrats not to play partisan politics.
It will be regrettable if they choose to head down the partisan road of issuing subpoenas and demanding show trials, when I have agreed to make key White House officials and documents available.
The White House will allow former counsel Harriet Myers and top political deputy Karl Rove to be interviewed, but in private, not under oath, and with no transcription.
That, says Senator Chuck Schumer, is a deal breaker.
Let us have a full, complete investigation.
not a limited one, almost designed so that the truth does not come out.
The Democrats plan to authorize subpoenas tomorrow. A happy ending to the story of the 12-year-old Boy Scout missing in Western North Carolina. CBS News correspondent Mark Strassman has the story.
He is okay. They're getting ready to walk out now.
The four-day search drama was suddenly over. It was a moment of relief for rescuers and supporters. So imagine the elation of Michael Aubrey's parents. Their lost Boy Scout has been found, hungry and thirsty, but otherwise healthy.
Just to have our son back. It was a tremendous blessing.
This morning, searchers tried a new area, and in 3 hours, they had him. Michael was found on the side of a ridge, just a half a mile north of the original campsite where he walked away on Saturday. He was deep in mountainous woods, walking along a creek, still trying to find his scout troop.
Michael's father says the boy left camp because he was homesick. As more and more Americans are diagnosed with Alzheimer's, experts say the brain-wasting disease threatens to overwhelm the healthcare system. CBS News correspondent Wyatt Andrews takes a look.
According to the Alzheimer's Association, the treatment of patients costs federal taxpayers $120 billion a year, mostly through Medicare.
We could see Alzheimer's disease recipients consuming the entirety of the present cost of the Medicare program.
Just Alzheimer's patients.
Just Alzheimer's.